Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
So.
And at 4:02, we welcome you in on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa, a beautiful Tuesday afternoon for the most part. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Great program lined up for you today. We've got a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to give that away sometime between now and 7 o'clock tonight. We'll hear some of the highlights of what Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz had to say at his weekly news conference here within the first hour of the show. Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register is with us in the 5 o'clock hour, getting us ready, continuing to help get us ready, I should say, for Iowa and Iowa State this weekend. Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. And we'll even work in a little baseball discussion today as well. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com joins us every other Tuesday all throughout the MLB season. He'll be with us at 6 o'clock tonight. It is, if you have been listening to KGYM throughout the day, also World Suicide Prevention Day. And over the course of the next 3 hours, we're going to be chatting with some local experts, people who work in the field of helping people off the ledge, so to speak. And I think this is an important thing that we're doing today. I understand that it's not everybody's cup of tea. And if for whatever reason the type of talk makes you uncomfortable, I'm right there with you. I know exactly how you're feeling. But we want you to be with us as long as you can be today. But we certainly understand if you feel uncomfortable with us not sticking to sports on this particular topic. So we'll be chatting with a couple people over the course of the next 3 hours, and we invite you to stick with us and learn more about something that I think needs to be talked about more. 405, the text line available to you, 319-366-1600. We are one day closer to Iowa and Iowa State this Saturday in Ames. Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell both meeting the media earlier today. Not a whole lot being said on either side from a perspective of smack talk. I think the players and the coaches are leaving that up to the fans, and the fans have certainly picked up the mantle and run with that, because if you've spent any amount of time on Twitter over the last 48 hours, well, probably over the last 80 hours, let's go all the way back to the weekend. I think it may have even started on Friday before Iowa beat Rutgers. There's no love lost between these two fan bases, and I got to thinking earlier today in Iowa City, if you could bring one player back to this rivalry from either Iowa or Iowa State to inject a little spiciness into this week, who would it be? 319-366-1600. You can answer in the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I got a couple. We'll get to them in just a little bit. I have a feeling more than a few of the names that I have will come up on the text line. Alex, we got a poll question, though, today, KGYMradio.com, centering on what I think is going to be a key matchup, and one that we'll probably spend some time breaking down on before the boom Saturday afternoon. Brock Purdy against a dinged up Iowa secondary. Who wins this key battle this weekend, Brock Purdy or Iowa's defensive backs? It's our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Kirk Ferentz seemed to sidestep some questions today about the health status of Matt Hankins, who's one of Iowa's starting corners. And I don't think Iowa is going to be 100% in the defensive backfield coming into this game. Geno Stone was dinged up a little bit last week against Rutgers. He was in the post-game interview room on Saturday after the game, which is usually a good sign that everything is hunky-dory and he's going to be available. But when asked about Matt Hankins by Tom Kakert of Hawkeye Report, who was just on the gym class, Ferentz did his verbal version of the cha-cha slide.
He didn't want to really commit to answering that question, which
leaves a little bit of doubt as to whether or not Matt Hankins is going to be available to play, but I love this poll question because it's going to decide the game. And it's so difficult right now, and I think why a lot of people are focusing on College game day more than the game, because it's I honestly can't sit here and tell you exactly what type of game we're going to see. 2 years ago, we saw a shootout. Last year, we saw a defensive struggle. Will we see another defensive struggle? I don't think we're going to see a shootout. Could we see somewhere in between? But the Iowa defensive backfield is the thinnest group on this team. It's the one Achilles heel where they cannot afford injuries, and it looks like they have a few guys who are not 100% already in that defensive backfield. But I think more than anything, a lot of Iowa's thinness, if you will, at that position can be made up for if the defensive line controls the game the way that they did last year.
Is it just me, or is there way too much trying to think of a politically correct term for this? I don't want to go anything beyond PG-13. There's just way too much lovey-dovey between Iowa and Iowa State this week for what's traditionally been a pretty hard-fought and borderline nasty rivalry from time to time. This is kumbaya today. Matt Campbell talking about A.J. Epenesa as a once-in-a-generation player. Kirk Ferentz lauding the play of Ray Lima and the Iowa State defensive line. There's way too much love in the air this week for this to be a true rivalry game. I'm not digging this, we're not going to say anything bad about the other team. And that's why I'm asking, if you could bring somebody back, and I think people are misconstruing, they're throwing out names of players that would make an impact on the field. I could not care less about that. I'm talking about somebody like Fred Barr, who's going to open their mouth on Tuesday at a news conference and say they hate Iowa State. Julian Vandervelde.
Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard is an excellent, if you want to go the Iowa State route, give me a little bit of color here. Give me a little bit. And this is, look, there's a certain segment of the crowd out there that's going to hang their hat on the fact that this rivalry is, quote, Iowa nice. That the two schools can get together, and it's really a special rivalry, and it's not as nasty as the other rivalries out there. No, I'm sorry. Talk to anybody who's played in this rivalry, and they will tell you that when these two teams line up across from one another, they don't like each other. I just want somebody to come out and say that this week, and we didn't get any of it. And in this business, it's like sucking the oxygen out of the room here. I got a microphone in front of me. I got 3 hours to fill. Give me a little something to go on. I don't necessarily need somebody to come out and say that they hate Iowa State or that they hate Iowa, but a player giving us a little something to go on here to make this feel like a rivalry as opposed to the kumbaya coming together of the two schools. It leaves a little to be desired is what I'm trying to get at.
Are you saying that the lead up to this game is not what we sort of expected it to be during the week?
No,
of this
everybody's
game?
Talking.
I agree.
Everybody's talking. Thank God for game day, because there's at least something to talk about. People are fixating on this stupid TV show because there's not much to talk about with the game. Now, I disagree with what I just said. I think there's plenty to talk about with the game. But everybody's game day this, game day that, and we respect the other team. Well, Ray Lima, they're great players. Matt Campbell, A.J. Epenesa, generational, once in a generation. Come on. If this is a rivalry, can we at least act like it's a rivalry? Let's drop all the pretense. And the fans are the ones who they're having to do the heavy lifting here this week, because both of these programs are too scared, I think, of their head coaches to say anything even semi-inflammatory about the other school. So the fans, they're going at it, as you should with a rival. But as for the As for the two sides here, this feels like a bland rivalry. Like they've taken a rivalry, a good, strong college football rivalry, and they've just distilled all of the fun out of it. And I'm hoping for a really good game. I think it's going to be a really good game on Saturday. I still have no idea which direction I'm going to lean as far as making picks go. Iowa State is a 2-point underdog at home. I'm always inclined to take the team getting points when Iowa and Iowa State get together. I'm bored by this matchup. There's nothing here to really pull me in if I'm a casual observer. So good luck, ESPN, selling a national audience on, which, by the way, the game isn't even on ESPN. It's on FS1. But game day, trying to sell this rivalry to a nation that may or may not understand Iowa and Iowa State getting together. I think it's okay to hate as long as it's a fun hate. And that makes no sense because hate, by the very definition of the word, there's nothing fun about hate. But in the instance of rivalries, college football, basketball to a lesser extent, I think it's okay to color outside the lines a little bit.
So, for example, the Iowa-Iowa State game in basketball last year. That was fun, right?
Some chippiness. And it was certainly interesting.
The coaches yelling at each other.
Steve Prohm out there on the field, or out there on the court. Yes. Yes. I want a little bit more of that.
So, like Devin.
Preferably before the game, not during or after it, but that's just me.
Like Devin Bush at Spartan Stadium a couple of years ago, before the game, going up and trying to cleat through the Spartan logo. You want to see a little bit of that?
No, I'm not quite to that level of pettiness, but I want to see and hear a little bit of chirping here. I want to know how the players really feel about this matchup, because I think what they're doing is they're going through the motions here, and they're both very media savvy. Again, I've said this before, Iowa State and Iowa, now that Matt Campbell is in charge in Ames, they appear to share a lot of DNA, these two programs. And you listen to what some of the Iowa State players had to say, and it's very Ferencian.
Yeah, see, and I'm glad you say going through the motions. I felt like last year's game, that spilled over into the game. I thought both teams were going through the motions a lot, especially offensively.
I'm an expert on going through the motions. I want everybody to know that. I can spot it a mile away, because I go through the motions more often than not in my daily. Everything about my life, from the moment that I wake up in the morning until I go to bed at night, is usually, for the most part, me going through a series of motions. I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot to look forward to this weekend. And I think, again, this goes to Iowa State not playing a game last weekend. So there's this unknown of how much progress has Iowa State been able to make in the last week and a half. Because the last time that we saw Iowa State, it wasn't pretty.
They were going through the motions.
They appeared to be sleepwalking against you and I. And if anybody knows anything about you and I going up against Iowa or Iowa State, you know you can't do that. And you and I almost caught them flat-footed. 319-366-1600. Again, the number if you'd like to give us a call. Iowa State getting past Iowa this weekend will turn its attention to Louisiana Monroe. Iowa, on the other hand, will have a bye week after the Iowa State game as they rest up for Middle Tennessee State. So a lot on the line this weekend. 3:00 kickoff on Saturday, Jack Trice Stadium. We will have our pregame show Before the Boom for you on our FM frequencies, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, beginning for you at 1:00 on Saturday. We invite you to tune in. Again, the TV broadcast, FS1, this week, Brian Custer and Robert Smith, the broadcast booth. A lot's going on elsewhere today. We will get to NFL Week 1 overreactions, my favorite thing to do every year after the after all of the week one games have been played, overreacting to wins, losses, performances, guys who disappear, don't put up huge stat lines. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. The Saints barely getting by the Houston Texans last night in their opener, and the Raiders beating the Broncos. I bet a lot of people probably put money down on Denver, thinking that the circus that had been Antonio Brown in Oakland, there's no possible way that the Raiders could focus on playing a game. Well, they focused on playing a game last night, and they beat the Broncos, and the Broncos may or may not be bad this season. Again, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, classic week one overreaction.
So, for example, if I were to say Lamar Jackson is going to win the MVP.
That's a great week one overreaction.
Just hypothetically.
Yes.
I did say it out loud, but since we haven't gotten to that segment, it doesn't count.
Now,
binding.
I was at the stadium last night, Veterans Memorial Stadium, watching the Colonels season come to an end, so I did not get a chance to enjoy the game on TV. But since four people have mentioned him on the text line, I will ask you, what's the deal with Booger McFarland? Is he really that bad? They got rid of the Booger Mobile. They put him in the booth. And I don't mind the guy, but we've got people on the text line.
It's not
line.
My favorite.
Okay. See, we've got people on the text line that are like, Booger McFarland is awful.
Booger McFarland is somebody who disagrees with people for the sake of disagreeing with people.
So he's perfect for this day and age. He's made for 2019.
Not exactly. The way that he frames it is sort of lecturing you on why you're always wrong, which is not necessarily the best way of going about it. This day and age, it's sort of like let's take something that we believe, we'll twist it a little bit, we'll take a side. He just always takes the side of the contrarian person who is upset at the world. If that makes sense.
Okay. Again, he sounds like a man of this moment, a man perfect for 2019. And yes, we get to say Booger on the radio, which actually cost Johnny Fever his job back in the day. 420 here in Eastern Iowa. KGYM coming your way on 1600 AM, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. Plenty more to get to. Kyle's going to bring you a big board update coming up in just a little bit. Mentioned spending time at the stadium last night, the Cedar Rapids Colonels, unfortunately, did have their Midwest League season come to an end at the hand of the Clinton Lumber Kings. And a great season for Brian Dinkelman and the team. They waste no time getting out of town. Most of the players are already on planes headed to their various hometowns. And the Clinton Lumber Kings advancing to take on the South Bend Cubs in the Midwest League Championships. That kicks off tomorrow, Game 1 and 2 in South Bend, Wednesday and Thursday. Game 3, 4, and 5, 4 and 5, of course, if necessary, will be in Clinton Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And barring a sweep, I think I have one more game left in me this season. Haven't seen the Cubs minor league affiliate in the Midwest League at all this season, so I'm hoping I get a chance to see them. Did see the Cubs' first-round draft pick from last year, Nico Hoerner make his major league debut last night, and he went all-Starlin Castro on the San Diego Padres. What is it, four hits, three runs, four RBI, whatever it was a tremendous line as the Cubs beat the Padres.
I'm glad you didn't bet on that game. I know you were tempted. The Cubs won last night on the road.
Yes, and they are keeping, well, I don't want to say they're keeping pace. They've fallen to four games back on the Cardinals in the race for the NL Central. Again, Ed Creech is with us tonight, coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll chat that and more with him. Byron Buxton officially out for the remainder of the season for the Minnesota Twins. That is less than ideal news for the Twins as they look to hold on to their lead over the Cleveland Indians, and more importantly, put their best team on the field in the postseason if they reach that point. Now, Buxton, you may recall, injured his shoulder here in Cedar Rapids, re-injured his shoulder here in Cedar Rapids when he was making an appearance with the Colonels as part of his rehabilitation stint in the minor leagues. So his season, for all intents and purposes, came to an end here in Cedar Rapids. Not exactly something the Colonels are probably hanging their hat on at this moment, but I think the Twins tried to get him back a little bit quicker than they should have with that bum shoulder, and now they're paying the price for it. Lots of baseball talk to come with Ed Creech. We'll get your thoughts and reactions to week one of the National Football League in the 5 o'clock hour, and a whole lot more. Again, our guest lineup today, Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register, set to join us at 5:30, and Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com at 6 o'clock. We'll take a quick timeout at 4:23. Kyle's going to join us on the other side of this break. He'll get you a big board update, and then we'll hear a little bit of what Kirk Ferentz had to say in Iowa City earlier today as the head hawk getting ready for his 30th meeting with Iowa State as either an assistant coach or as a head coach, something that he pointed out today. He's seen a lot of good football and a lot of bad football in this series, and I think we're going to see more good than bad this weekend at Jack Trice Stadium. 4:23, we'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Construction is a pain in the butt. Let's just admit it. TCB Pool Hall isn't into that look on the bright side BS. They know you're sick of it, too. So, every day until pet mall construction is over, pool's just $2 an hour. $2. 1 hour of pool, done and done. TCB's 26 rotating taps and 30-plus bottles and cans of suds will ease the pain, too. Hang out, play $2 an hour pool, complain about the construction, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the pet mall downtown Iowa City.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Get ready, Jefferson. This is the gym, Scott Unash. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming to you live Thursday at 3. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
After an off day, game one of a three-game series with the Washington Nationals comes your way on Tuesday night from Target Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Jose Barrios and Anibal Sanchez, the pitching matchup for game one. On your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:26, we welcome you back in. It is a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as we gear up for Iowa and Iowa State Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. A reminder, the parking lot's opening at 5 a.m. for a 3 p.m. kickoff. Jamie Pollard wants Ames to be a giant party for College game day on Saturday, and I think he's probably going to get his wish, having been to my fair share of Iowa State games in Ames. I know how those grass parking lots turn into sort of a college football version of Mardi Gras.
Do they have any of the family friendly ones where it's like no excessive drinking?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think even babies and toddlers are going to be hitting the bottle at 5 a.m. Saturday morning for Iowa. How young is too young to bring a kid to their first football game?
Ooh,
My wife and I were talking about this the other night.
Like a football game of that magnitude?
Of any, just any sort of like a college or NFL game. Because I want my son, who is three, I want him to be old enough where it makes an impact on him or he's able to remember the experience. And I'm thinking even 5 and 6 is probably too young at that point. I'm thinking of waiting until he's like 7, 8, 9 years old. Am I depriving him of childhood?
I went to a game when I was 4 and I vaguely remember it.
Vaguely remember.
Vaguely remember sitting inside Busch Stadium watching a St. Louis Rams game.
I don't want that. I want him to have vivid memories. So I think I'll wait a little bit longer. He ain't coming with me to Iowa State this weekend. I guarantee you there's no room for him in the press box. They're completely full in the press box as they usually are. I think I've said this before. I'm always looking forward to Iowa State in Ames because the spread in the press box, they have tremendous food there at Iowa State. They really do a really good job of taking care of us. And I know nobody cares about that, what we get to eat in the press box, but I just wanted to throw it out there because it gets under people's skin. Kyle has joined us in the studio. He's going to bring you a big board update 3 times a day on the program, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find them in Iowa City. They just moved in to their new digs on 420th Street, not too far away from the Sinclair gas station. Here's Kyle.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today ahead of a huge Cy-Hawk matchup this weekend. He says safety Geno Stone is good to go this week after leaving the Rutgers game a little early, but Kevon Merriweather will remain out for at least one more week, so it'll be Jack Kerner back at free safety. He also indicated that other players may be nursing injuries, so the secondary is particularly thin at this moment. He also said it's likely Cole Banwert will get worked back into the offensive line rotation. Matt Campbell also spoke over in Ames, and the biggest questions for the Cyclones right now is whether they'll be with or without starting center Colin Newell. If he's unable to go, those around the program have been indicating for some time the team is quite high on the idea of working in youngsters Trevor Downing and Joey Ramos. One guy who will definitely be out there is safety Braxton Lewis, who missed the season opener. Noah Fant hauled in 2 passes for 29 yards in his NFL debut for the Broncos last night, but it was another former Hawkeye in his second season who really looked like they've taken a step forward. Now starting for Denver, Josie Jewell had a game-high 14 tackles, including 7 of them solo. The Colonel season came to an end last night with a 6-2 loss to the Clinton Lumber Kings. They now advance to face the South Bend Cubs in the Midwest League Championship. The Colonels won't be league champions, but having now played in the Western Division Championship Series 6 seasons in a row is pretty decent. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Nationals, as always, on 107.5 FM The North.
Gym. Are the Colonels the Midwest League's version of the Buffalo Bills?
Ooh.
6 Midwest League Western Division Championship Series in a row. They just can't quite get over the hump. They can't quite. The Bills got to the Super Bowl 4 times. This would be like losing in the AFC Championship game 6 times. Last time the Colonels were in the championship game was under Jake Maurer's watch, I believe in 2015.
That was the.
It's been a while.
That was the infamous ring fitting
incident.
Yeah,
the infamous, my former co-host as the on-field MC of the Colonels talking about ring sizes while the West Michigan Whitecaps were in the visiting dugout going, who the hell is this guy? good luck. I got a lot of friends who work for the Clinton team and was chatting with them last night as the players were on the field, and I thought it was very gracious of the Colonels to make sure that they had a place to celebrate, and they were down there on the field spraying their champagne around and dumping buckets of Powerade. And don't tell me guys at the minor league level don't want to win games, because they certainly wanted to win last night, and the Colonels did as well, and unfortunately only one team can advance to most likely lose to the South Bend Cubs. The Eastern Division's pretty good. I'll just leave it at that. 319-366-1600, and a great example of how much people don't care about the Iowa State rivalry on the text line right now. 0308, 59 years old, born in Iowa City, lived here all my life, 2 degrees from the University of Iowa, 42nd year of high school officiating. I don't care about Iowa State. Most of my sports friends don't care about Iowa State. Might be a generation thing, but they, moo you, are more of a nuisance rivalry than a Wisconsin or a Minnesota rivalry. So to be clear, 0308 does not care about Iowa State to the point of sending one of the longest texts we can possibly receive on the text line.
I think that's the most amount of characters that fits into one text.
That is the most amount of characters for someone telling you that they don't care about
something.
They don't
care about Iowa State.
I'm having fun with you, 0308.
Thanks
don't get
texting.
Upset. Thank you for the text. Thank you for listening. But you see this all the time when someone says that they do not care about something and they're in a Facebook article, they're commenting. Who cares about? Well, you do.
You mean like
you're reading it and you're commenting on it. That sort of implies that you care.
You mean like Nebraska fans saying that they don't care about Iowa and it's not a rivalry because they're just that much more of a successful program than Iowa? The same thing that they did with Colorado for years, by the way.
Iowa is trembling at the growth of Iowa State, both academically and athletically. Iowa, it is not sitting well with a lot of people in Iowa City. Iowa State's enrollment is larger than Iowa's. They're starting to have success as a football program. They're very good at basketball. Kevin Dresser's got them getting better on the wrestling mats. And they are very worried about the erosion of their fan base, especially in the central part of the state.
I think a lot of that also has to do with the fact that they have an athletic director who is an incredible marketer.
You know, I'm just going to say
an incredible marketer.
Do you know which school would benefit from having Jamie Pollard as its athletic director? And I'll give you a hint. We just sort of talked about them yesterday needing a showman.
Rutgers.
Rutgers needs Jamie Pollard as the AD there. They need somebody who can come in and carnival bark his way to. And that's not a put down on Jamie Pollard. I'm a big fan of what he's been able to do there in his decade plus on the job in Ames. He has completely, I can't say reinvigorated that athletic department. He's invigorated it. He's given Iowa State athletics a life that it never had before his arrival. And it all started with a glorious billboard here in Eastern Iowa. And it's a billboard that Iowa State fans and Iowa fans have not forgotten. And it's just grown from there. This is a fun rivalry, and yet both sides are intent on sucking all of the fun out of it. Am I wrong about that? I don't want holy war level fighting and punches being thrown and anything like that, but can we encourage these young student athletes to have fun and embrace the rivalry instead of telling them, don't go out there and say anything? Everybody respects everyone. No. Give me Fred Barr. Give me Fred Barr in 2001 or whenever it was when he said, I hate Iowa State. We want to beat them. I don't think, how many guys today even said they wanted to beat the other school? Or was that too verboten? Did anybody come out today and say that they wanted to beat the other team?
No. As if that would be some sort of controversial statement.
And that's
isn't
the problem.
Isn't that kind of why you play?
That is the problem. We've taken a great rivalry, and I really could not care less if the rest of the world doesn't understand what we have here in Iowa and Iowa State playing every year. But we've taken a great regional rivalry, and we've doused it in Clorox. And we've just, what's that? You smell bleach? Yes. That's this rivalry. Let's go to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. Sonny in Iowa City. Great to hear from you on Cyhawk Week. Sonny, what's up?
I love this week. I think that the rivalry is awesome, and I do enjoy people that get really amped up about it. I think that there's already enough mutual respect in this state that, nobody really, really is going to be crazy about it like, some southern states would do. But at the same time, I do not understand not hyping this up in any way and not having the players actually enjoy it. And I can tell you for a fact that it doesn't matter what they say at a press conference. In the locker room, those guys really, really do want to beat each other, particularly these teams. It's a real rivalry. And, I I'm a happy dude because, you know, just around the office, just around anywhere you are, you get to walk around a little prouder. And God knows if Ames beats Iowa, Iowa City, then it is going to be bad news around a lot of people's workplace. So don't tell me that you don't care.
Sonny, appreciate it, and I'm going to say something that should make everybody tremble right now. Sonny says, while they have their head coach, implying that Matt Campbell is going to hightail it for the NFL or somewhere better, what if he doesn't? The more and more I look at this guy, and that trip to Ames for Media Day several weeks ago, and sitting in the complex and seeing some of the signs that they have posted on the wall there, and the sort of the philosophy that he has instilled in the players there, that sure looks and feels to me like a guy who wants to build a program, dare I say it, a Ferencian-like tenure. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. And that should scare the ever-loving crap out of Iowa fans. Now, 6019 on the text line, missing the point here. No, 6109. We have a 6109 and a 6019 on the text line. My bad. 6109 says, Iowa, worried about Iowa State. How has the Cy-Hawk series gone the last few years? This is so far beyond the results of a football game. You're whistling past the graveyard here if you don't see it. Iowa, the University of Iowa, the entity that is the University of Iowa, losing ground virtually everywhere to Iowa State. But if you want to hang your hat on the performance of the soccer programs and the swimming and diving results in the Cy-Hawk series, or if you want to get really specific and point at 4 years of football, if you want to make it just about athletics, even that doesn't hold water because Iowa State's coming. And I've lived in this state for 39 years. I was born and raised here. I've never left to live anywhere else. And I'm telling you, I see more Iowa State gear and more Iowa State flags and more Iowa State license plates in 2019 than I've ever seen before. And if you're an Iowa fan or if you work at the University of Iowa, that should concern you. And I know it does because they're so scared that they pump up the Des Moines media with anything that they want in Des Moines. You want Iowa assistant coaches on the radio once a week in Des Moines? You got them. The Register gets access through radio and for print with Iowa's assistant coaches. Well, people like us and the Cedar Rapids Gazette, we get nothing. Well, because you're in Eastern Iowa. Everybody likes the Hawkeyes in Eastern Iowa. They are trembling at the erosion of support in Central Iowa because they used to view Des Moines and Central Iowa as the heart of Hawkeye country. And I'm telling you, Iowa State is coming. And if you don't want to admit it or you don't want to realize it, you're whistling past the graveyard. 319-366-1600. Let's head to Keota and bring Jim on board. Jim, what's up?
What's that?
What's going on?
Not much. I was just waiting to get on air.
You are on, Jim. The floor is yours.
Todd?
Yes.
What's going on? Oh, I'm sorry. I want Matt Roth to come back to spice this thing up.
Matt Roth would be the perfect player to come back and bring a little spice to the rivalry. Although,
yes, I loved him. And then as far as your poll, I disagree. I don't think it's Brock Purdy versus the Iowa secondary because I don't think Brock Purdy is going to have a chance. Get the ball off against Iowa's defensive line.
Well,
I think it's defensive line versus offensive line. I think that's where Iowa's going to win the game.
We'll see. If that's the case, then I think you're probably viewing a low-scoring game.
Like last season. Like a carbon copy of last year's game.
But I'm looking at, and I'm listening to Kirk Ferentz sort of dodge the question about Matt Hankins' health, and I'm thinking, dinged-up secondary, Brock Purdy. He doesn't need more than 2.5 seconds to get rid of the ball. They've got a very good... They don't have Hakeem Butler, but they do have a good receiver, and we'll see how things play out. Matt Roth, by the way, would certainly make headlines because, his eligibility has been used up, and B, the last time we saw him, he was triple-handing, triple-fisting Was it Michelob Ultra? Michelob Ultra. Whatever he was drinking at FryFest.
I don't know, 9:30, 10 in the morning.
Matt Roth,
but...
Fred Barr, Julian Vandervelde. Julian Vandervelde gave one of the greatest quotes of all time, saying that he hated the entity that is Iowa State. And how that never caught on as a T-shirt or a bumper sticker. I mean, the entity. That's all you needed to know there. And then, I mean, that's been 2006, 2007. That's over a decade ago. And after that point, it was like, just wipe as much Mr. Clean magic eraser on this as possible. We want nothing to do with any sort of color. This is just another game. And Iowa State is like, okay, yeah, we can do that too. We'll just talk about how great the other team is. Just come out and say you don't like each other, because everybody knows it. Everybody knows these two teams don't like one another. 319-366-1600. I've riled up the Iowa fans, because they don't think that there's any truth to this, that Iowa State is gaining in popularity. And look, all you need to do is look at what Jamie Pollard was able to do with Cyclone Tailgate Tour every year. And they put the coaches on a bus and they send them around the state and they hand out pencils and face tattoos and they sign autographs with little kids. You know what they're doing? They're indoctrinating and they're growing that next generation of fans. And they got about a 7 or 8 year head start on it before Iowa even realized, we got a problem here. We gotta cook up a junior hawk club or something, because there's a lot of Iowa State flags in Linn County and Johnson County, and that's something that you didn't necessarily see 25 years ago.
No, I mean, I think back to the 2017 Liberty Bowl and the amount of Iowa State fans that were in Memphis, and I was obviously, since I live in the state of Iowa, striking up a conversation with a lot of them, even though I was in my Memphis gear, and the amount of Iowa State fans that I talked to who were not from the middle of the state shocked me. I met plenty from here in Cedar Rapids. I met some from the Quad Cities. There were plenty of Eastern Iowa State fans that I met in Memphis, and that was when my eyes started to open about how much they are gaining in popularity. Because, yeah, I think it was, we'll get the number 5268 mentions. It's cool to be an Iowa State fan now. They're winning. It's that simple. When you're going 3-9 every year, you're not exactly advertising that you're an Iowa State fan for a lot, if you're a certain person. But now that they're winning, you advertise it more. That's what most people do.
We do 67-17 on the text line, pointing to basketball. George Niang would be a tremendous hype man for this rivalry, because he loves to troll Iowa fans, and that, I think that's what this rivalry needs. It doesn't need to be sanitized. It needs to be embraced. If you're going to play this game every year, and they are going to play this game every year, and it's great now because both programs are on solid footing, you can't really do much better if you're Iowa or Iowa State as far as having a yearly non-conference game scheduled. They need to embrace the rivalry. You're playing it every year, embrace it. Instead, they want to act as if this is Louisiana Monroe or Middle Tennessee State, and it's not. It's your in-state rivalry. And Matt Campbell's going up head-to-head with Kirk Ferentz on the recruiting trail over a lot of recruits, something that previous Iowa State coaching staffs didn't do. 319-366-1600. Where did the text go about us not taking a stand on anything? I've been accused of a lot of things. I don't think sitting on the fence, straddling the fence, has ever been one of those things. I'm pretty sure I just said something rather inflammatory about the Iowa State rivalry, and have been banging on it now for the last couple minutes. The fact that Iowa State is, they're coming on strong, and Iowa just, they don't know how to react to it. They don't know how to live and survive in a world where Iowa State is popular. Maybe not necessarily more popular, but popular. Again, it goes back to that 1985 Northwestern mentality. That's Northwestern. We beat Northwestern all the time. Okay, Randy
Here
Walker.
Here we are in 2019.
The Rose Bowl in 1994, 95, you should learn your lesson at this point. Northwestern the last couple decades has been a decent thorn in Iowa's side. 319-366-1600. We now have fans fighting the rivalry by proxy through the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, since the players themselves are not doing anything to pump up the rivalry, which is fine by me because
someone's got to do it.
Makes my job that much easier. Let's squeeze in David and Coralville will be our last call here in this segment. David, what's on your mind?
Hey guys, I think you're quite a bit right there, Todd, when you say like you see a lot more gear. I think, and you also hit the nail on the head, where it's cool to be an Iowa State fan now. I think part of that is just better marketing, that getting that stuff out here. But to play antagonist, to your point,
please do.
Just because it's fun, right? You know, I have parents that live in Florida. They have an Iowa Hawkeyes club in Florida where they get 300 people together every day every week to watch the games. You go down the street from Wrigley, you got your Iowa Hawkeye bar.
Yep.
There's Hawkeye fans and Hawkeye flags everywhere. But I think the best thing for this rivalry is to have Iowa State get that recognition, come after us, and then you got a much better rivalry in the years to come. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, David. 8063 on the text line. Any discussion about what should be done? Maybe moot because Campbell's probably not going to be there within another year or two. You guys are free to keep thinking that, and I will gladly eat my words if he does leave. But that is a guy that certainly seems like he wants to build a program in Ames, and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, to David's point, and he brought up Chicago. A couple years ago, I was in Chicago, and I wanted to watch the Iowa State-Kansas basketball game. And there's something like 34 Iowa bars in Chicago. Like, if you went to the iClub website and looked for, hey, a place I want to watch an Iowa game, there's a big, long list of them. And I asked for, where are the Iowa State bars in Chicago? I think people came back with two. I had two options to go watch. And I did, and I went, and it was a fun time, and I wanted to watch that game with Iowa State fans and get their reactions and get their feel for that game. But man, it was a difficult time figuring out in a large city like Chicago, just finding a place where Iowa State fans congregated was a difficult task.
In a city where you can find Florida State bars and North Carolina bars and Oregon bars and probably multiple of both, of all of those.
It was a good time. I think Kansas won the game. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, it is National Suicide Prevention Day. And if you've been listening to KGYM all day, you know that we have been raising awareness for today, what today is about. We come back, we're going to chat with a special guest and one of three that you'll be hearing from this afternoon. More on the way after this.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the Black and Gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
The Gym is taking part in World Suicide Prevention Day to help prevent suicide. Throughout the day, we'll be learning strategies from our friends at Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. KGYM.
The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Today, one of the days we're not sticking to sports in honor of World Suicide Prevention Day. We're talking to experts from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank, formerly known as the Crisis Center, to educate our listeners on suicide and what to do if you're ever faced with a mental health crisis. Chris is our first guest this afternoon. Can you give us an intro, who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Chris Von Onen. Currently, I'm employed at the VA in Iowa City as a health system specialist, but I also volunteer at community and a lot of outside organizations, veteran-focused primarily, but like the community, it's just one of those extra things I can do to help out people.
The first real big piece of information we want people to know is someone close to me is showing signs of depression or they're possibly suicidal. What's the first action I should take?
So everybody at community has to go through a lot of training and stuff, and along with that is something called the ASSIST model, and it's basically a framework of how to kind of work with people who are having suicidal thoughts. And step one of that is basically going and talking to that person. Because sometimes, and one of the first questions we usually ask if we hear something about that, like somebody says, I'm feeling, you know, very down, very suicidal, I'm having some thoughts about harming myself. You know, is this something that's just started recently? What is happening that's getting you to this point? You know, because sometimes there's a story behind that, and it's, you know, something's built up over time, or, you know, everything was going okay, and then this one event happened that really just catalyzed a lot of bad going on right then. And so sometimes it's just talking to that person and actually figuring out the story behind that. And then once you kind of get the idea of what that story is, then trying to help them realize that there are people that care about them that want them to succeed, and trying to kind of build that framework in their mind that you've got people that care about you, you know? So sometimes it's just as simple as having a conversation and just being open to hearing that story. But we do encourage people to, you know, listen to what the other person has to say. Don't interrupt them. Don't be like, well, that doesn't make any... No, just sit there and take it in. Let them vent out all this bad. You know, even on the crisis line and stuff, we've had some amazing interactions with people. You know, somebody gets on the phone and is like, I am having, you know, the worst day, you know, absolutely just falling apart in crisis. And you talk with them, and, you know, 20 minutes later, it's not, you know, always the case, but I've had phone calls where 20 minutes later, a person's like, I feel better now. Thanks for just letting me get that off my chest, you know? And all I really did, I was there for them. I just listened. I supported them. And I think that's really cool that something as simple as just being there for 15, 20 minutes and being able to just say, yeah, you know what? It sounds like you're having a really hard time right now. You're struggling, and I'm here to listen.
No real special training here. It's just as simple as listening.
Well, and we do go through a lot of training and stuff, but a lot of it is modeled around a, you know, unconditional positive regard and just being able to, you know, if somebody says, I'm having the worst day of my life, okay, tell me what's going on. You know, talk with me about why this is the worst day. And just talk to me about it.
One thing we know from reading the news is there's a high rate of suicide among U.S. military veterans in comparison to just the general public. What are some of the resources available for veterans?
I would say other organizations. I'm really involved with Team Rubicon, which is a vet-focused organization that helps to kind of take a veteran who may have, you know, deployed, gone through the military, and then gotten out and kind of lost that sense of identity. And so they give them a sense of purpose, identity, and community again, and put them back to work doing, you know, very mission-focused helping out people on their worst day. And I know there's that old kind of saying that, like, nobody understands me. I've been in the military. Civilians don't understand, kind of thing. But I've actually found that, like, first responders and any of the emergency response community really does. They've seen some pretty crazy stuff too, and just being able to kind of interact with an entire different chunk of the population.
Chris, what are some of the misconceptions about suicide?
I would say there's a lot of misconceptions, stigma around mental health in general. And it's one of those that, you know, maybe asking for help isn't cool. You know, just any of that kind of like, no, you're fine. Just deal with it and buck up. And I think that's probably the biggest misconception is, like, if you're feeling like you're struggling with something, like, you know, I know at some point you can feel like you're kind of overwhelming your friends and family. And that's a lot of why, like, resources like the National Suicide Hotline and the Crisis Center exist. So you've got just another tool to add to your arsenal of being able to reach out and find somebody to just maybe vent to. And, you know, hey, I'm having a really rough day right now.
Chris Vaughninen, our first volunteer in today from Community Crisis Services. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah.
And if you or someone you know is in a crisis, you can call or text 1-855-325-4296. Again, the number 855-325-4296, or chat online at builtbycommunity.org. More information on ways you can help for World Suicide Prevention Day available on our website, kgymradio.com. We will have similar conversations in the 5 and 6 o'clock hour today. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Radio. Words with Ferentz are highlights of Kirk Ferentz's weekly news conference in Iowa City on the way to kick off the 5 o'clock hour next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening with their depth chart at receiver. A little more crowded following the signing of star Antonio Brown. The Patriots trading Demaryius Thomas to the Jets for a 2021 six-round pick, reports ESPN's Adam Schefter. Thomas was inactive for week one. Brown is set to participate in his first practice with the Patriots tomorrow. The Texans offensive line concerned as a troubling trend continued in the loss to the Saints. Quarterback Deshaun Watson sacked 6 times. Last season he was sacked an NFL high 62 times. Coach Bill O'Brien, the O-line, vowing to fix their mistakes and shore things up. There are a couple of ways to accomplish that, explains ESPN's Ryan Clark.
You have to use more chips, give him more opportunities with getting him outside of the pocket, and also design plays where he gets the ball out of his hands early and coach him to do so. Deshaun Watson is the ultimate playmaker. He uses his legs to improvise and make plays down the field, and he is a fearless player.
Eagles defensive tackle Malik Jackson scheduled for surgery on a significant foot injury next week. He is expected to miss the remainder of the season.
Coming up Wednesday, it's falling apart for one AFC East team already. Can they cover their 19-point spread this week? Plus, we have a twist on my rankings this week, and it's the only thing that can save Thursday night's NFL game, Color Rush. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This Sports Center update on KGYM was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, When an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 2 5-1/4 ounce bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8. Clean and lubricate your fuel system while increasing miles per gallon with 2 bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your guy smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
5:04, welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM. Also heard on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and online at KGYMradio.com. Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register, set to join us here in the 5 o'clock hour. The Iowa-Iowa State talk continuing here in the 5 o'clock hour as well. I think I struck a nerve with Iowa fans in the 4 o'clock hour, and it's not necessarily something that I enjoy doing, but you can continue to ignore the progress that Iowa State has made at your own peril.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you say something like that, that's so obviously true, but people don't want to hear it, it's going to strike a nerve.
5359 on the text line said, which school just beat a top 20 SEC team in a January bowl and just polished off a new end zone club seat area? And my response was the same one that had plenty of empty seats last weekend. And there were a lot of them for Rutgers. And the response from 5359, that game against Rutgers had more fans at it than Jack Trice can even hold. I think you just strengthened my point. Okay, that and a couple bucks will buy you some coffee at Starbucks. Probably don't get any of the whipped cream or nutmeg on top of it or anything, but just a basic old plain grande black coffee. What's the point? Iowa beat an SEC football team in a bowl game and has a bigger stadium than Iowa State. Okay, if that's the standard that Iowa State has to live up to and surpass, trust me, they're on a trajectory to do it. I think we're focusing on history here, and instead of looking at what things could look like 5 years, 10 years down the road.
Well,
and what they look like right now,
exactly,
at the moment.
Like right now.
And Iowa fans seem to be banking on Matt Campbell's not going to stick around. Matt Campbell's not going to stick. Keep saying it. And then 5 years from now, if he's still there, and I think he will be, are we still going to hear Iowa fans saying, well, he's going to leave. Look, 10 years, he's moving on. He's going to get the itch. He'll move on. They have a foundation in place and a coach in place. They've got their Kirk Ferentz. And I understand by saying that, I probably rankle Iowa State fans, because anytime you compare anything Iowa State to Iowa, they have an inferiority complex about it. That's a compliment to say that you've got your Kirk Ferentz, because you can't put a price on stability. Iowa is not where it's at as an athletic department today if it hasn't had only three athletic directors and two football coaches in 40 years. There's something to be said about stability, and Matt Campbell, I think, understands that, and that's why the Cleveland Browns and God knows what other jobs will, that have come open or will come open, and he looks and says, you know what? They'll build a statue of me here if I win. I'll quickly be forgotten if I go someplace else.
There's also, I think, something to be said about liking your boss and liking who you work with and who you work for and where you work. And I think that you can check all of those boxes right now for Matt Campbell. I keep going back to Jamie Pollard, but those two obviously enjoy working together.
See, Iowa fans seem to want to push Matt Campbell out in Ames. The guy that you really need to leave Ames is Jamie Pollard, because as long as Pollard is there, they're going to continue to do a lot of the things that have positioned themselves to be on a level playing field in the state of Iowa with the University of Iowa, athletically and academic. See, we're not talking about the academic side, because so many people involved in this rivalry could not care less about academics. But Iowa State's enrollment is exploding, and Iowa's is not. And that should bother people. But if we're talking football, nobody cares about academics. 319-366-1600. Again, Mark Emmert of the Register coming up with us at the bottom of the hour. We also have for you today a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to give that away coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. Continue listening for your chance to win. We will be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. The texts continue to come in on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. If we can't have interesting commentary from the players or the coaches in this series, we may as well have it from the fans. 319-366-1600. We do owe you a Words with Ferentz segment. I wanted to get to this in hour number one, and then texts and thoughts got in the way there. Network Computer Solutions brings you highlights of Kirk Ferentz's weekly news conference every Tuesday during football season, a little segment that we like to call Words with Ferentz. Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Here, some of the highlights, and that's stretching the definition of the word, of what Kirk Ferentz had to say about Iowa State today in Iowa City.
It's my 30th year in the rivalry now, and I think there are a couple of things that are always certainties in this ball game over the years. First of all, it's going to be a real intense, competitive football game, always a challenge. And then the other thing, it's always going to be in an excellent environment, and I think it's true whether it's here or there. That's always been the case. So, that we can count on. We've got tremendous respect for Coach Campbell, his staff. They've done a wonderful job over there. They've been playing really good team defense. I think that's really helped them, be a factor in the conference the way they have been. And then the thing that's new for us is the quarterback. You know, we didn't have the opportunity to face him last year. He certainly has given them a great boost and just has been a tremendous impact on the football team. Great leader. You can see that just from watching the tape. So, you know, they're an excellent football team. On top of that, it's our first road contest, so that's a unique challenge. And I think for a lot of our younger guys, it's going to be certainly an experience for them, and have to learn our veterans hopefully to help those guys through. But for them to be in a hostile environment, they might as well get used to that. That's going to be part of the year as we go along. So really, it just gets down to us. We have to go over there and be focused, really have to be concentrating on the task that's at hand, and that one's certainly significant. So, again, pleased with the start, and I know we got a big challenge ahead of us.
How good has Matt Campbell been through that program and this rivalry?
Well, I mean, the rivalry's been pretty strong and pretty tough ever since 98. It dipped there for a while, but since 98, to me, that was a really historic event. And, Dan McCartney was coaching there then. So, since that time, it's been a very heated rivalry, very competitive rivalry. And, Coach Campbell's just done a great job overall for the program. I mean, they, last year, right there in contention, and they will be again this year. And, 16 wins the last 2 years. So that's not easy to do anywhere. Credit goes to them, the players and the staff.
College game day coming to Ames, obviously, this weekend. You guys being the road team, do you feel maybe not as much pressure as if you guys were hosting –
college, hosting such a big event in college game, do you still feel the same amount of pressure you do when the national spotlight is on you guys?
I mean, they were here, I can't remember what year it was, but it really didn't impact the game. I don't think it's going to impact this thing either. And there's always been a lot of hype, if you will, or interest in this game for obvious reasons. You know, I think a nice thing about that is I don't think a lot of people outside our state bounds necessarily really understand the intensity of the rivalry and just what a great thing it is. And, maybe that'll add to the spotlight a little bit. But the one thing for sure, it's been really consistent. The game on the field is really important to everybody involved, and it's always been challenging. And, at least internally, there's been a lot of interest and coverage in it for sure.
The wide receivers' experience level this year, I mean, you talked many times about how Amir and Brandon were very new and right off the school bus. What is their growth and emergence? What has that done to the playbook this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're just better players now, much better players than they were 2 years ago, certainly, and even better than last year. So, it's not the same as what you were asking about earlier, but it just kind of, affects how you lean, how you bend as a team philosophically. And, last year our real experience and talent was our best talent was at the tight end position. So, you kind of go where your talent is in some ways, and then, everybody else has to fill in around it. But, so we're a little bit more able to make people respect us, I think, out wide now than we were maybe 2 years ago, and hopefully that will continue to develop.
Drawing on your experience, what separates a team that has success on the road from one that maybe doesn't achieve it quite that level?
You know, the first word that comes to mind is maturity, I think. And it doesn't have to be, that you're a four-year player or a senior, a junior even, but just, the ability to really focus in on what counts and just ignore the rest of it, because there's going to be a lot of rest of it all week, not just on Saturday. And that's what happens when you go on travel to a lot of places. It's the way it goes. But really, it's that way during the week too. And it's the ability to focus on what is important, keep your mind there, at least when you have time budgeted for it. That's what you got to do. And if you are distracted by whatever, surroundings, things that are being written, nice things that are being written about you, or negative things, I mean, all that stuff's really counterproductive to moving forward, I think.
The highlights of Kirk Ferentz's weekly news address to the media, Words with Ferentz, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. 30 years worth of Iowa State games, and he was asked earlier today, what's the moment for you? And if the person who asked that question had any idea of what it's like to deal with Kirk Ferentz for the past 20 years, they would have known they were not getting an answer from him. When we win, it's a good thing, and when we lose, it's a bad thing, is basically what he said. He did not single out a specific moment from the Iowa State series. Not a whole lot to work with if you're a member of the media, if you're a fan expecting a great deal of insight, and the same could be said for what Matt Campbell had to say earlier today in Ames, the Iowa State head coach, now talking on Tuesdays, just like Kirk Ferentz, which is a departure from previous seasons. These two teams will get together at 3:00 on Saturday, and they will politely play a football game against one another. That's what they would like you to believe. In reality, it's going to be smash mouth football, and both teams want to win the game. I saw we got a text come in on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. What's your take on the notion/diss that this game is Iowa State's Super Bowl? If there's one thing that I hate about this week, it's the other fan base saying that a fan base views this as the Super Bowl. Of course this is it's the Super Bowl for both teams. More importantly, it's the Super Bowl for the entire state, because we don't have the Chicago Bears or the Green Bay Packers. Okay, we don't have major league professional sports in anything. We've got minor league sports, and we've got college sports in the state of Iowa are our professional sports. There's a reason why I was given a 3-hour sports talk show, and it ain't to talk about the Cedar Rapids Colonels or the Rough Riders. No offense. It's because people want to hear about the Hawkeyes and to a slightly lesser extent, the Cyclones. And so you can sit there and say, well, Iowa State, this is their Super Bowl. Well, it sort of is because bragging rights are on the line here and you're recruiting against the other school for a lot of talent. And there's a lot that goes into this. Now, the actual Super Bowl aspect of it, every game on, this is cliche, I could be a coach here. Every game is your Super Bowl. The next game on your schedule is the Super Bowl. But I'm not breaking any news here, am I? That Iowa State would like to beat Iowa, and Iowa would like to beat Iowa State. And Iowa State fans would really love to have 365 days to crow over beating Iowa to their Hawkeye neighbors, Hawkeye family members, and that annoying guy in your office at the water cooler who always trolls you about being an Iowa State fan, and vice versa. I'm not breaking any ground here, am I?
No, I do think that this game is, this is gonna sound strange, but it is more about the fans.
Yes, I completely agree with you.
It's more about the fans' bragging rights and the fans' sort of vitriol for each other, and who's gonna be able to make fun of who at the water cooler. For
yesterday,
the next
we were fighting over game day, and now we're agreeing. What a wonderful world!
Game day is important.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
This is about the state, and it's about the fans more so than maybe the players and coaches involved, because coaches come and go, players come and go. The two entities, and yeah, I'm using Julian's word, but the two schools remain the same, and the fan bases remain the same. Coaches come and go, players come and go. This game is for the fans.
Was this series maybe a little bit more entertaining when you had Iowa State under Dan McCarney, who he certainly did sell out for this game more than some other coaches in the past? He made this game the most important game on his schedule and was going to do anything that he could to win it, despite the fact that he had an entire Big 12 schedule ahead of him.
Well, there are positives and negatives to that. And I think if you look back on the old setup, would you trade a loss against Iowa for a victory in the Big 12 North?
See, he wouldn't.
And that's sort of the view that a lot of people had, was no, he's all in on the Iowa game. Well, he knew that in order to for that Iowa State program to take that next step, that he had to break that. I think people lose sight of the fact that it was, what, 15, 16 years in a row where Iowa had beaten Iowa
right.
State. And it just, I remember as a freshman at the University of Iowa in 1998, thinking that it was a feeling as if it were a foregone conclusion. Again, my entire life has been me going through the motions. So game day rolls around, 1998, we wake up, we leave Hillcrest, we go to Melrose Avenue, we're tailgating, we go into the stadium. Todd Bandauer and the Iowa State Cyclones are going to lose to Iowa. It's the natural order of things. And the apple cart got upset that day. And the next 4 years in a row, the thinking was, well, okay, last year was a fluke. And Iowa State reeled off five in a row, and in large part because Dan McCarney understood the importance at that juncture for his program. They needed to get that monkey off their back, and they did. And now you look over the last decade or so, and the series has been relatively even for the most part, which is a good thing, because the last thing that you want is for something to seem stale. And Iowa State, I know Iowa has a four-game win streak here, but this doesn't seem stale. And now Matt Campbell is in a similar position to Dan McCarney. He needs to get this monkey off his back. He desperately needs to get this little footnote, this box checked, beat Iowa. He hasn't done it yet.
That's the last box he needs to check.
Yeah, I mean,
what else does he have to prove other than that he can beat Iowa?
You're right, and I think a lot of fans would say they want him to check that box off this weekend, and he wants to. Now, he's not going to say it, and he didn't say it publicly today, but he wants to beat Iowa in the worst possible way. And Kirk Ferentz, who is aging before our eyes into, he's becoming almost a grandfatherly figure in college football, he wants to step on Matt Campbell's throat and not let up. I mean, you'll never get either one of these guys to say it, but you know it's the truth. Let's head to the phone lines here and go to Nick in North Liberty, wants to weigh in tonight. Nick, what's up?
Hey, guys. I was just on my way home from Cedar Rapids to North Liberty and listening to you guys talk about, you know, how one team always, or one fan base, rather, always says the other one, you know, it's their Super Bowl. Well, I think Alex basically alluded to that with Dan McCarney and the way that he established that entire thing. And until Matt Campbell changes that, which, don't get me wrong, I think he's absolutely on the way, but it just absolutely seems like that if Iowa State beats Iowa and goes 3-9 and doesn't even make a bowl game, well, it's still a successful year. You know, they should be more proud to beat the Oklahomas, beat the Texases, you know, win the Big 12, you know, and who knows when the last time that actually was, which I don't think it was ever. But, yeah, I guess I still just see it that way. And, you know, I kind of think it's like the Cubs and Cardinals. Now that the Cubs have, you know, won a World Series, Cardinals fans don't really say that playing the Cardinals or beating them is their World Series anymore. So to wrap it up, I'd say until Iowa State does something major, that moniker is going to continue for them. Thanks, guys.
Nick, appreciate the phone call. Hopefully the traffic wasn't too bad on 380 tonight on the commute home, although having made that drive for a number of years in the past, I know that the answer to that is no, and traffic was probably pretty stupid on the way home tonight. Don't miss that drive, I will say that right now. Cedar Rapids to North Liberty, this time of night, nope.
I think Iowa State has done some pretty major things these past two seasons. Not against Iowa, but against Big 12 opponents. What are we considering major for this program? A program that we chatted with Joel Klatt at Big Ten Media Day, who had nothing but great things to say about Matt Campbell.
And bad things to say about Nebraska. It's why he was such a popular interview.
And bad things to say about Nebraska. I don't think any Iowa State fans need to be reminded how bad this football program was. And for them to be competing the way that they have in the Big 12 this past two seasons, that is major. How many top 10 victories do they have? They've beaten Oklahoma on the road. They trounced West Virginia at home last year. I know they lost to Texas and it ruined their Big 12 title hopes, but they have done major things. And that last box that Matt Campbell needs to check is to be able to win this game. And I'm going to be very interested to see, with a week off and 2 weeks to prepare, what Iowa State looks like on Saturday.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. It's also the number to pick up and give us a call. Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register are going to be with us shortly. But let's head to Marion and welcome Don into tonight's discussion. Don, the floor is yours. What do you got to say?
Well, I don't agree with the last caller. I'm an Iowa State fan, and I don't think the Iowa game is as big anymore as it used to be. The last couple of years with Campbell, what he's done, I think he's showed that that's not that important. And one other comment I wanted to make about McCarney, you talked about him, the importance of the Iowa game and how that was a season, the importance of that. Well, another thing he did, I agree with that. Another thing he did that cost him games was he highlighted the Davis brothers, and he got them yards, a lot of yards, in games that they lost that they could have potentially won. But I think that built on the reputation of them being wanting running backs, good running backs, that help him recruit running backs in the future. So that's my comment.
Don, appreciate hearing from you tonight. And you, every decision that you make tends to have positive outcomes and negative repercussions, both for the most part. And yeah, that more so with Dan McCartney. And again, let's not lose sight of the fact that Iowa was his alma mater as well. And there was a little extra something there for Dan McCartney in that series. And then you went down the Gene Chizik rabbit hole, and that was a miserable experience. And Paul Rhodes understood, being an Iowa guy, an Iowa native, he understood the importance of the series, but he didn't really treat it the way that Dan McCartney did. And now you've got Matt Campbell, and I don't think he needs to go to Dan McCartney's level with the series. What they need is a victory, and they're a 2-point underdog, according to the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. A good opportunity for us to remind you that you can hang out with Alex on Saturday. He's going to be broadcasting from the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort from noon until 3 on Saturday afternoon, getting you ready for Iowa and Iowa State. If you don't have tickets to the game, if you don't want to make the drive to Ames, Riverside is a much shorter drive. They, of course, have plenty of adult beverages, and you will have the ability this year, for the first time ever, to legally wager on the outcome of Iowa and Iowa State on the gridiron. It should be a great time, and gets you a reprieve from doing Before the Boom on Saturday afternoon as well. So there's that working in your favor as well. 529. Stick with us. Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register said to join us shortly, plus an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's all on the way in the next 30 minutes. Back with more after this.
Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee, so he went to ZipRecruiter, posted his job, and found the best person for the role in just a few days. How? ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. It could be something serious or maybe something simple. So knowing the likely issue can save you a lot of time and money down the road. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com. Restrictions and details apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
Nico Horner arrived in the majors earlier than expected, but he produced immediate results upon arrival. The team's first-round draft selection last season, Horner bypassed AAA, jumping straight from the Southern League to San Diego's Petco Park Monday night as the Cubs opened a series against the Padres. Horner became the first player from the 2018 draft to reach the major leagues. His presence became almost necessary after Addison Russell was hit in the head by a pitch in Milwaukee over the weekend. Coupled with the absence of Javier Baez, the Cubs were in desperate need of infield help. All Horner did in his debut was go 3-for-5, with 4 runs driven in as the Cubs beat the Friars 10-2. Perhaps Horner's presence will spark the crippled Cubbies down the stretch. They're just 5-5 over their last 10 games and have fallen to 4 games back in the race for the NL Central pennant. They're still clinging to the NL's second wild card, with the Brewers, Diamondbacks, and Phillies breathing down their necks.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the Black and Gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
5:33, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register set to join us shortly, plus an opportunity for you to enjoy a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's all coming up here before 6 o'clock. Kyle joining us in the studio. The second of three big board updates today brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today ahead of a huge Cy-Hawk matchup this weekend. He says safety Geno Stone's good to go this week after leaving the Rutgers game a bit early, but Kevon Merriweather will remain out for at least one more week, so it'll be Jack Kerner back at free safety. He also indicated that other players may be nursing injuries, so the secondary is particularly thin at the moment. He also did say that it's likely Cole Banwart gets worked back into the offensive line rotation. Matt Campbell also spoke over in Ames, and the biggest question for the Cyclones right now is whether they'll be with or without starting center Colin Newell. If he's unable to go, those around the program have been indicating the team's quite high on the idea of working in youngsters Trevor Downing and Joey Ramos. One guy who will definitely be out there is safety Braxton Lewis. He missed the season opener. Noah Fant hauled in two passes for 29 yards in his NFL debut for the Broncos last night, but it was another former Hawkeye in his second season who really looked like he's taken a step forward. Now starting for Denver, Josie Jewell had a game-high 14 tackles, including seven of them solo. The Colonel's season came to an end last night with a 6-2 loss to the Clinton Lumber Kings, who now advance to face the South Bend Cubs in the Midwest League Championship. They won't be league champions, but having now played in the Western Division Championship Series six seasons in a row is pretty decent. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Nationals, as always, on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Mark Morehouse just tweeting that according to a Twitter account, TickPick, the Iowa-Iowa State game is the most expensive in college football this weekend. The average price for a seat now $257 inside Jack Trice Stadium. Also, news to pass along, our friends who cover the Iowa State program letting us know that Jamie Pollard has announced that between 500 and 700 people will be allowed into the pit behind the College Game Day stage. They will open the gate for that cattle rush at 5:30 a.m., but they will begin allowing people to queue in line at 3:30 a.m. Saturday morning. So if you want to try to make your presence seen and heard in the pit behind the College Game Day crew, gates open at 5:30. The queue begins at 3:30 a.m. Good googly moogly. Let's get to Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register, who, like ourselves, was in Iowa City earlier today for Kirk Ferentz and his weekly news conference. And Mark, we've been lamenting the fact here for the last 90 minutes or so that it just seems like neither team involved in this rivalry wants to openly or publicly embrace this game. There was a lot of vanilla today.
Yeah, even more than usual, I thought, didn't you? It seemed like they're really going out of their way to tamp down any kind of excitement about this game, because there's probably plenty out there already, and they don't want to feed into that, maybe. But, yeah, it's very noticeable.
Did anybody say anything of interest to you in your interviews today?
Well, yeah, there was some good talk just about football itself and, you know, the matchups and, Iowa's defense and so on. I thought the most inflammatory thing possibly, not really inflammatory, but Michael Ojemudia did say a couple of times that Ferentz said in his team meeting that, you know, there's no better feeling than going to somebody else's building and making them shut up. So I think they're definitely aware that they're in for a hostile environment on Saturday, the first one they've seen this year, and it's up to them to make it less so. So that was, you know, probably the only thing that maybe was a little bit bulletin boardish, but the rest of it, you're right, was just really kind of just talking about the game and the matchup and how good Brock Purdy is and having to play against a 3-4 defense, how difficult that's going to be. And, you know, Iowa sticking with its 4-3 with Nick Neiman, it looks like. So that kind of stuff, which is all fine, but it's not talk radio worthy.
What have they made by and large of their first two performances and now going into their first test, how they can build on what they've done in those two victories?
Well, they're obviously, the message always is, you know, we played well, but we could play better. There's still things we need to clean up. I think they're probably not, I'm sure they're very happy with those two performances, but they really didn't play anybody yet. I will say that. I thought Rutgers was actually even worse than Miami of Ohio. That's maybe the worst Big Ten team I've ever seen. So, I mean, they did what they had to do, but there's really nothing there that's going to help them beat Iowa State or, you know, go into, you know, wherever, Michigan or Northwestern. I mean, these are going to be much different animals. So I think the one thing that they're pretty excited about quietly is how well that pass game looks and how many different kind of variations they can put in terms of personnel and formations. That's been, I think, a little bit eye-opening. Defensively, obviously, we knew Epinesa was a beast, but they got him on the move last week and found ways for him to be even more disruptive, and I think they're pretty excited about that. What they're not excited about, of course, is the fact that it looks like half their defensive backs are injured, so that's been kind of a bit of a concern.
I was just going to ask you, any worry about the status of Matt Hankins today? Kirk Ferentz was pretty evasive when Tom Kakerd asked him about his health.
Yeah, that was very noticeable because Ferentz went out of his way in the opening statement to talk about Geno Stone. He is going to be available. He's fine. He was one guy that went out late in that game. Hankins was the other guy that Kirk Ferentz had not mentioned him until he was asked, and then he said, you know, we'll just ride it out and see where it goes. So I thought that was maybe an indication that Mr. Hankins is not healthy, and if that's the case, they're already down Riley Moss and Julius Brents, as you know, the two backups there. So maybe we have to see Terry Roberts or DJ Johnson get a start. Opposite Michael Ojemudia. So that would be, you know, plus they're already down Kayvon Merriweather. So he's right. I mean, there's a lot of already a lot of attrition back in the back end of that secondary, and I don't think they definitely don't want to have one more. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. I reading between the lines, it sounds to me like he may not be ready.
What did Kirk Ferentz have to say about the offense going up against a defense that is so unique in its alignment?
Yeah, he was talking about that quite a bit, actually. Didn't really know, you know, who to compare it to because they haven't seen anything quite like this in the last, you know, 8-10 years. Definitely a big challenge, of course, for Tyler Linderbaum, the redshirt freshman center. He's kind of getting his feet wet. He's looked really good for the 2 weeks, but now he's going to be facing, you know, a nose tackle right on top of him, which he hasn't had to do before. And that can be a big challenge. Of course, it's hard to run against 3-4 defenses at times, and this one is that's the case. And Iowa's running game has looked pretty good the first 2 weeks, but now it's going to get a big challenge, and we all know what it looked like last year. So I'm sure there's a little bit of fear that they can revert to that form. And I it's really hard to picture them winning this game without being able to establish some kind of running game over there. I know they got a much better passing attack this year, much more diverse options, but I do think it's going to come down to old-fashioned Iowa football. And at some point, that offensive line is just going to have to flat-out beat Iowa State's defensive front seven. And so that's, you know, and they are getting Cole Banwart back, it sounds like. He'll be in the rotation, but still missing Alaric Jackson. So that's going to be a very interesting matchup to watch, honestly. I think this is going to be a pretty low-scoring game.
I was just going to ask you, what's your gut say on this one? It seems we've oscillated back and forth between high-scoring affairs and low-scoring grinders, but
yeah, right.
You think we're not in for an offensive shootout Saturday?
No, I can't see that unless there's just some kind of weird with, you know, turnovers and field position gets flipped and some teams have a lot of short fields to work with. I really do think that if you make either one of these teams have to make long drives, you know, we'll probably see, you know, we saw 16 punts last Saturday. I know I was excited about that, so we might see 16 more here. But I think it's good. I think both teams will be a little cautious. I can't imagine they're going to want to go out there and try to get too crazy with their schemes and try trick plays and so on because they don't want to risk turnovers in a game like this. So I think field positions will be very vital. I actually picked maybe like a 23-20 score overtime, maybe something like that. I really think it's going to be more up along those lines than what we saw over there 2 years ago, certainly.
Last year, it was pretty clear that both defensive lines, both front sevens, really had their way with the other offensive line. Are both of these offensive lines, is it overstating it to say that they're the biggest keys for both teams in this game?
Yeah, and I think maybe even more so for Iowa State because obviously they're dealing with an injury situation there. That there's a, you know, their center is questionable. they got all five guys back. They were not impressive at all against Northern Iowa. If you guys watch that game, I mean, Northern Iowa was getting a lot of pressure on Purdy and kind of limiting him a little bit, honestly. So to me, that's still a big question. I know that's a veteran group, but are they any better than they have been in the past? And if they're not, and they got to try to deal with A.J. Epenesa and Chauncey Golson and those guys, it could be another long day for Brock Purdy. I mean, he's already kind of minus, you know, some running backs and wide receivers that he's had in the past, some of those skill position guys. And now if that offensive line can't hold up, I mean, he can only do so much, right? So that to me, honestly, is the key to the game is can Iowa State's offensive line at least neutralize the Hawkeye defensive front? And I'm not convinced that they can.
Which defensive end is more important Saturday, Epenesa or Ray Lima?
I think Epenesa. I just think he's got the potential to be a much more disruptive player than Lima. No offense to Mr. Lima, but I mean, even Matt Campbell today said he's a once-in-a-generation talent, talking about Epenesa, and I think we all see that. So if he is able to do what he did against Rutgers this last Saturday, even, you know, 75% of that, he could really make this for a long day. He could actually flip this game just by himself. So they got to account for him. I don't think Iowa feels quite the same pressure to account for Lima, to be honest with you, that Iowa State's going to feel to really handle Epenesa. They got to know where he is at all times and have a plan for him, and that's a rare thing for a defensive, you know, lineman.
Well, Mark, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and we will look forward to seeing you and all of your Register brethren Saturday in the Jack Trice press box.
There'll be a lot of us.
Yes, there always are.
I appreciate it.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot. We look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register. You can read his work at Hawk Central along with Chad Lystico, and Hawk Central going behind a paywall as of tomorrow, I believe. So the Des Moines Register doing what a lot of media companies have deemed necessary and, let's be honest, should have done from day one when the internet was invented. But newspapers got people conditioned to get their information for free via the internet. And once you're conditioned to get something for free, it's very difficult to break down and pay for it. And that's one of the issues that has led to the decline in newspapers over the last couple decades. And it's a sad day, but I know there are going to be plenty of people who pony up to get the Register's Iowa coverage. Chad and Mark do a fantastic job. And if you missed anything with Mark or our previous guest in the 4 o'clock hour today, you can head on over to KGYMradio.com and download the podcast, KGYMradio.com. Also, where you can vote in our poll question today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who wins this very important matchup on Saturday, Brock Purdy or Iowa's defensive backs? It's going to be one of the keys to the Cy-Hawk game, especially if the Hawkeyes are less than 100% in the defensive backfield. Again, Mulligan's Pub, $30 gift card to Mulligan's. I did promise we were going to give this away before 6 o'clock. Let's do that right now. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6 is going to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's, and we will be back there next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. When we return on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, we continue our acknowledgement of National Suicide Prevention Day with another special guest.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats. Gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
You learned how to do CPR in case of a heart issue. Now we should learn how to help with a mental health issue. Hashtag stop the stigma. KGYM.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word BEST to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text BEST to 60-60-60. Text BEST to 60-60-60.
Welcome back to SportsView. Today's topic, who deserves to win big this season? My two cents, good drivers. I mean, that's why there's Snapshot from Progressive. Let's go to Rick for some confusing metaphors.
Look, if you put a classically trained cellist in a garage band and you tell them to play Filet Mignon, I guarantee you, the meat on that burrito ain't gonna light the candle.
Thanks for clarifying, Rick.
If you're a good driver, there's no other way to say it. You deserve discounts with Snapshot. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your engine with 5 points of Castrol Edge full synthetic motor oil and a Wix filter for just $33.99. Plus, get a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate. You can also earn bonus O rewards points on Castrol Edge motor oil products right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
And we welcome you back into the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM. It is National Suicide Prevention Day, and if you've been listening to KGYM programming throughout the morning and afternoon, you know that we've been trying to do our best to raise awareness for this, and we have a number of guests that have joined us throughout the day to discuss this very important matter. It's something that I think we'll only be able to address if we talk about it in the open. And I believe Sarah is our next guest this afternoon. Go ahead and give us an intro and let us know what it is you do, Sarah.
I'm Sarah Knox, and I'm the training coordinator at Community Crisis Services. We frequently do applied suicide intervention skills training at Community, and those are free for anybody who lives in the East Central region. So if you want to learn how to intervene with somebody, especially if you've got like a friend or a loved one or a career that you might come in contact with somebody who's thinking about suicide, it's a very long training. It's pretty intensive. It's what our volunteers go through. So it's 2 days, 8 hours, both days.
So how would folks go about registering?
So our website is builtbycommunity.org, and then there's a link for training, or you can type in /training, and then it has the training dates coming up.
How often are these trainings held?
A little less often than once a month, like maybe 9 or 10 times a year.
Is volunteering the biggest need right now in suicide prevention?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, suicide is on the public consciousness. You know, we're talking about it more now, but still the vast majority of people have no idea what to do. Like, I talk to people all the time who are afraid. If you ask somebody if they're suicidal, you're just going to put the idea in their head, right? Like, no, actually, I've asked this of thousands of people, and usually the response that I get is that they're relieved. Or they aren't thinking about suicide and they just say, oh, no, I'm not there. Like, okay, good to know. Thanks.
What can somebody expect from volunteer training for suicide prevention?
If anybody's considering doing the volunteering but they aren't sure yet, they can come to the suicide intervention piece and see how it feels, see what they think. The application deadline is September 13th, and training is going to start on September 23rd. We have a big enough training class in the fall that what we do is we split it up into two groups. So if you're interested in volunteering with us, you can choose to come on Monday nights or Thursday nights. And then if one of those, you suddenly have a scheduling conflict, you can just come to the other night in the same week, because we're doing the same material both nights. And that goes from 5:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. But then we also have online training. So if you don't live in the Iowa City area, or if that those hours are just not going to work with your schedule for training, you can still apply. And we have our training online. You can do even the role plays, which make everybody the most nervous. You can live role play with one of our staff people online. So there's still opportunities, even if the schedule or the location doesn't work out for you for training. It runs for 9 weeks, so we'll get done right before Thanksgiving week.
Is there a bigger need for volunteers, especially around the holidays?
You know, it's strange over the holiday season, because there's an idea that things are worse during the holidays. On the holiday itself, it's usually a little bit slower. I think that people are usually involved in stuff with their families, or they assume that we're closed, which we aren't. We're there. but then we usually see a spike either right before or right after the holidays. And we also love to have additional volunteers, because some of our existing volunteers do want to go home for the holidays. So if you're planning on being around for the holidays, that would give our other volunteers a great break.
Are there other times in the year that you see a higher rate of people seeking help?
So we see the call numbers spike as people are worried about going back to school or work. We get a lot of calls in the middle of the night on a Sunday night. Another thing that I've noticed is when you look at Google search history data, there's a spike on searches, including the word suicide, on Sundays. And also at the end of spring break and at the end of summer break.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that says something about the number of teenagers in particular that are struggling with these thoughts. And, you know, it's easy to forget about LGBT issues, because, you know, gay marriage is legal. Like, all the problems have been solved, right? But we still talk to lots and lots of kids who are struggling with coming to terms with their own sexuality, or having their parents or family understand being disowned by their family. So we encounter a lot of that with young people as well.
Just curious, what has volunteering done for you personally?
So I started as a volunteer in 2007. My undergraduate degree was in economics. I had no intention of going into the helping profession, but I loved it so much. I didn't realize how much I needed it, that I had wrestled with depression, that I had wrestled with thoughts of suicide. And getting to talk to other people who were having this struggle, it made me see the world really differently, like how common these things are and how much we're able to help each other with really not very much effort. Like, just being willing to listen and understand somebody else and make that connection with somebody makes such a huge difference. It totally changed my view on the world and eventually made me decide to make it my career.
Sarah, one last thing before we wrap up. For some people, it's hard to really understand what it's like to deal with mental illness. You had mentioned earlier when we were talking something about a spoon theory. Can you elaborate a little? What is that?
It's a concept from disability advocacy, disability rights. It came from somebody who was telling this story in a coffee shop. So they had a handful of spoons at their disposal, and they said, "Okay, so the only way that I can explain what it's like for me and why things are so hard for me is to imagine that spoons are like currency. You know, like getting out of bed is hard. That's going to take a spoon." You know, taking a shower is going to take a spoon. Making breakfast takes a spoon. Leaving the house takes a spoon. Going to the post office takes a spoon. Well, what if I only have 3 spoons? Like, am I going to skip breakfast? Am I just not going to leave the house all day? And it's hard to predict how many spoons you're going to have on a given day. You know, you might wake up feeling really good. You might wake up feeling really terrible. And I can't remember if the person who first made this analogy had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. I'm not sure what it was that they had, but I feel like it applies really, really well to depression and mental illness, mm-hmm. too. And it's really hard for people to understand that. They're like, just cheer up. Just go do something. Just... but it literally takes more energy than the person has.
And thank you, Sarah, so much for joining us today. If you or someone you know is in crisis, you can call or text 1-855-325-4296. Again, the number, 1-855-325-4296. I think we've probably all had days where we've run out of spoons. You can also chat online at builtbycommunity.org, and we have more information on ways you can help during World Suicide Prevention Day on our website, kgymradio.com. We will have one more conversation with Rochelle coming up for you in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, set to join us at the top of hour number 3. The pennant race is heating up in the Central Divisions, and Byron Buxton, done for the year for the Minnesota Twins. How does that affect Minnesota moving forward? We'll touch on all that and more with Ed shortly as we kick off the 6 o'clock hour. By the way, we want to congratulate our winner tonight for the $30 gift card to Mulligan's. And we'll do that when we return after this as well.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The AL West leading Astros look to keep their offensive roll going when they continue their series with the A's tonight. Houston's won 5 in a row and has scored 36 runs the last 2 games. Astros are tied with the AL East leading Yankees for the best record in the American League. Cubs star Chris Bryant, out the last 2 games with a knee issue, returns tonight against San Diego. He'll bat 5th and play 3rd. Angels slugger Mike Trout out tonight versus the Indians. He's still recovering from that toe procedure and is day-to-day. NFL, the Patriots trading one of their receivers to an AFC East rival. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports they're sending Demaryius Thomas to the Jets for a 2021 6th-round pick. New England with an abundance at receiver after the Antonio Brown signing. Brown, meanwhile, spent time with quarterback Tom Brady, taking initial steps to build more on-field chemistry. Brady called Brown a very smart football player who's been extremely productive. Despite Brown's incredible talent, it is hard to imagine things working out for him in New England, believes ESPN's Jack Del Rio.
I know Antonio is a gifted football player, and I know the Patriots have been the team that can kind of absorb different guys and decide if they want to, you know, continue on after a short time or not. It's just so toxic. What I watch from AB, it doesn't fit.
Jack Del Rio on Golic and Wingo. Brown has his first practice with the Patriots tomorrow. No word yet if he will play on Sunday in Miami. Defensive tackle Malik Jackson of the Eagles slated for surgery next week on a significant foot injury. He'll likely miss the rest of the season.
Coming up Wednesday, it's falling apart for one AFC East team already. Can they cover their 19-point spread this week? Plus, we have a twist on my rankings this week, and it's the only thing that can save Thursday night's NFL game, Color Rush. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend. But watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
Welcome back in the Tom Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. Mitch Keller making his next start for the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight against the San Francisco Giants. That's good news. You may recall Keller had to leave his previous start in the second inning after being hit by a line drive on the wrist. Pirates, a 105 underdog on the money line at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, Iowa, for those of you who are interested in such things. Cubs turning to Jose Quintana tonight against the Padres. And Nico Horner with a major debut last night for the Cubs as they're desperate for infield help. All of this baseball talk, of course, setting up our next guest, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, joining us every other Tuesday throughout the baseball season. And Ed, I want to actually start tonight not with Nico Horner's debut with the Cubs last night, but the Dave Dombrowski news out of Boston, which broke over the weekend. What did you make of the Red Sox parting ways with the architect of last year's World Series winner?
Initially, it was surprising. Just the timing of it, having it after the game Sunday night, after midnight Eastern time. Conspiracy theories on the East Coast are saying that John Henry in the front office did that to obscure the firing, with that being the Patriots season opener and the unveiling of the Super Bowl banner. But outside of the timing, when you actually take a look at Dombrowski's contract status, he had only one more year to go through 2020. He's 63. I'm sure he was pushing for an extension. John Henry during spring training was saying that was going to be a priority to get the extension done. And I think Dombrowski was pushing for it because, again, he's 63. He would have been 64 when his contract expired in 2020. This may have been his last contract extension. And I think he wanted to get that taken care of before he went into the offseason as a lame duck GM. A very similar situation happened in Detroit. That's how he became available as late in the season as he did for the Red Sox a few years ago. So I think when you take a look, that Dombrowski wanted a resolution to his contract status. And it appears that the Boston front office wanted to go in a different direction. The fact that he was released, not surprising timing of it is.
Dave Dombrowski again out in Boston. This is a team, though, that can be competitive again next season. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who they hire there. And it was also quite interesting last night that David Ortiz threw out the first pitch at Fenway Park, kind of a classic misdirection there. And Don't be talking about Dave Dombrowski. Focus on Big Poppy.
Well, and take a look at how the front office hung Alex Cora out to dry. No one in the front office, whether it was Henry, the principal owner, the chairman, Tom Warner, or the team president, Sam Kennedy, neither one of those three has met the media to explain their decision-making. They left it to Alex Cora to talk to the media for more than 20 minutes to try to explain why the GM was fired, the man who hired him. I think that's Bush League on the Red Sox front office. I mean, if you want to make a change in direction, that's fine. If you wanted to go to somebody who's more analytically inclined than Dombrowski is, that's fine. If you wanted to restock your minor league system, that's fine, because Dombrowski's career through the Tigers, through the Red Sox, was trading your prospects for veterans to put you over the hump and then splurge in free agency. That's what he did with Detroit. That's what he did with Boston. He got Detroit to a World Series or two. He won a World Series in Boston. That's his formula. if you want to make a change to go to somebody to help rebuild the depleted Boston farm system and get their luxury tax situation in control, that's fine. But at least man up and go before the media in Boston to explain yourself rather than leaving it to your second year manager, Jude, who had no say whatsoever in the decision making. So I think Boston, that their ownership, it was showed extreme cowardice by not facing the media in their decision to fire Dombrowski.
Ed, let's get to the NL Central, one of two races that are even up for grabs at this point. The Cardinals up four games on the Cubs and six games on the Brewers. Do either the Cubs or the Brewers have a run left in them? The Cubs have seven games against the Cardinals. The Brewers have three remaining.
I think they do. But I think for both the case for the Brewers and for the Cubs, the situation is going to be very similar. Can they get consistency out of their bullpen? And can they produce with runners in scoring position? Both teams are sorely lacking in that regard. When the Brewers can actually get a couple of base hits with runners in scoring position and get some consistency in their offense, you can see as they've won four in a row, they can do that. They took five of seven from the Cubs. They split with Houston. They won the first one here in Miami, and that's because they've had timely hitting and consistency out of the bullpen. When their bullpen has faltered or when they've struggled with runners in scoring position, that's in the situation they've been in. Same thing can be said for the Cubs. If their bullpen can keep it together and they can get those timely knocks, I think they have the starting pitching to do so. They're still struggling on the road. And with that final six games of the Cubs on the road, including at St. Louis, that's going to be very, very – it makes, I think, Chicago a much tougher long shot to overcome the Cardinals, even though they're closer to the Cardinals than what the Brewers are. The Brewers have a much easier schedule these final 3 weeks of the season. They do have the three games in St. Louis, and I think that's going to be a make-or-break series for the Brewers this weekend.
Sometimes all it takes is a young player to come up from the minor leagues and give a team a spark. Nico Horner made his debut last night, first player from last year's draft class to reach the major leagues. What did you think of the Cubs' interim starting shortstop?
I thought he had a very good debut. But before we start saying that he's going to be the push for the Cubs need over the final 3 weeks, Romel Garcia had just an outstanding start to his stint with the Cubs, and he's cooled off tremendously. So it was a very memorable debut, as a historic debut for Horner, something that the North Siders haven't seen in over 60 years, producing the three hits. His all-around performance. I think Horner's a good player. I think he's going to be at the Keystone. I think eventually what you're going to see is going to be Baez and Horner at the middle of the infield. Whether who's at short, who's at second, that's still up for debate. But I think this did give the Cubs a shot in the arm. Let's see how it carries over as they continue their road trip in San Diego. So, hell of a jump from Double-A to go to the majors and do as well as he did last night. It's a really good feel-good story for the Cubs.
What has been clicking for the Cardinals in the second half?
Pitching. They finally got their young guns. Flaherty has really put that team on his back and has carried them. Dakota Hudson has stabilized and given them some consistent innings. The bullpen has been outstanding. Their defense is very good. And I think another thing that you can't discount for the Cardinals' run besides pitching and defense, they're finally healthy. They actually have their lineup together. Molina's healthy. Goldschmidt starting to produce. Ozuna is healthy. Carpenter is still struggling, and in years past, he has been the heartbeat of this team. But because they have such great depth from their veterans, whether it be, again, Molina, Ozuna, or Goldschmidt, they've been able to carry it. Wong has been very consistent offensively. I think their outfield situation isn't bad. It helps that Dexter Fowler is actually starting a little bit to live up to that contract that he signed. Even though Harrison Bader has had a horrible year so far, he did have a couple big hits over the weekend, including a walk-off. So I think the fact that the young pitching has started to come into its own, their bullpen has always been solid, the defense has always been solid, but the fact that they're now healthy in their lineup and giving them just enough offense, just enough to complement their great defense and pitching.
Ed Creech with us of MLBTradeRumors.com. There is also a pennant race underway in the American League Central, and the news has not been good for the Minnesota Twins recently, whether it's Michael Pineda's PED suspension or Byron Buxton now out officially for the rest of the season. Can the Twins hold it together and fend off the Indians over the next 3 weeks?
Well, the big thing is going to be a three-game series that they have with Cleveland. Right now, they have a five-game lead. They dropped 2-3 to the Indians this past weekend. If they can return the favor and take 2-3 from Cleveland, I think that goes a long way for Minnesota to solidify it. You mentioned Buxton's season-ending surgery on his shoulder. Pineda is out with the PED. Cleveland has also had some injuries. So Jose Ramirez is out. Tyler Naquin shredded his knee by crashing into the wall in Tampa. So just when Cleveland was starting to get healthy and productive, they saw some things go haywire. Kluber is also most likely not going to come back this year. Salazar, who they thought they might be able to get something out of the bullpen, was just recently put on the 60-day disabled list. So I think both Cleveland and Minnesota are trying to overcome injuries down this pennant stretch, but I think it's going to, again, just like it was with the Brewers and Cardinals, this weekend's three-game series is going to be really crucial if Cleveland wants to catch the Twins.
If you're the Twins front office, how do you kind of move forward with Byron Buxton, a guy who was having an outstanding year, but once again an injury-riddled season?
And when all is said and done at the end of the year, he'll have played 87 games for the Twins. And as you mentioned, he has had an injury-riddled career. I think you have to – fortunately, they have depth in the outfield, even though Kepler is having some issues. I think it was shoulder for Kepler. He recently had the MRI. I think they may have enough outfield depth where they can overcome Buxton, whether it be this year or next year. But, you know, labrum surgery – now, granted, if it's a pitcher – he'd probably miss all of 2020, but it being a position player, but being a center fielder, it's going to be interesting to see how fast Buxton can come back from this labrum surgery. I'll be interested to know how much damage was done. Was there more extensive damage than what the doctors thought until they got into the shoulder to clean it up? The early time frames you're hearing is like 5 to 6 months. I think it's going to be longer than that. I really don't think you're going to see Buxton until the middle of next year. And if that's the case, you really do need to bring in a stopgap. Is that somebody you bring in who'd be a fourth outfielder that you can rely on for the first couple, 3 months of the season? Say maybe a Cameron Maven, similar to what the Yankees have done when Hicks went on the injured list. I think that is going to be something they're going to have to think of. I don't think you're going to replace Buxton. I don't think that's going to be in the thinking of the Minnesota front office. I think they still tender him a contract. But I think you do have to find a very solid force starter who you can rely on to start in center field or one of the corners, because you can always put Kepler in the center, that they're going to have to find a very capable fourth outfielder while Buxton recovers from this shoulder surgery.
Ed, are we getting a sneak peek at next year's National League Rookie of the Year and Gavin Lux in Los Angeles right now?
Oh, my goodness. Another way, we were talking about Nico Horner. Lux in his debut, first pitch he sees, base hit. I think you are getting a sneak peek of this, and it's amazing how the Dodgers can just bring this up. I mean, you could have, going into next year, you could have the reigning MVP in the National League, the way Cody Bellinger is going, and possibly having and Gavin Lux. So I think you're seeing the talent come to the fore. And it just, for the rest of the baseball, it's kind of like, oh my God, how many more players do they have coming up? They have the best record in the National League. It's similar to, and here's the thing. You take a look at Yordan Alvarez, who could be a favorite for the American League Rookie of the Year. He was not an Astros draft choice. He was from the Dodgers system that they gave him up in a trade for Josh Fields. So imagine if Alvarez was still with the Dodgers and how just stacked that lineup would be. So I think you're right. Lux, I think it's going to be interesting. Where do they play him? But because Dave Roberts stresses multi-positional flexibility, you could see Lux at short. You could see him at second, splitting time with Max Muncy or Corey Seager at short. So I think it's going to be an interesting see how he gets Lux the at-bats if he actually opens the season with the Dodgers next year.
How neck and neck is that NL MVP race with less than a month to play?
I think it's probably going to come down to who makes the playoffs. That seems to be the deciding vote for a lot of the baseball writers, that your MVP status is directly related to can you get your team to the playoffs. Right now, Bellinger, I think, is a shoo-in to get the Dodgers into the playoffs. The Brewers are going to have to really claw and scrape to get in there. But Yelich has just been outstanding. His batting average is up this year from a year ago. His OPS, his home runs. It's going to come down to, like I said, I think who gets the team into the playoffs. And I think right now, Anthony Rendon is an outside contender to be among the final three. With the way Pete Alonso is tearing it up with the Mets, yes, he's probably going to be the favorite for the NL Rookie of the Year, but could he get some MVP votes as well with the season that he's had? So I think right now Bellinger is the clubhouse leader. Yelich is nipping at his toes, and Anthony Rendon is just lurking in the shadows. So I think right now I think those are probably going to be your three finalists for the National League Most Valuable Player.
Ed, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll touch base with you in a couple weeks. We'll be on the verge of talking postseason baseball at that point.
All right, looking forward. Thanks, guys.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Always a pleasure to have him with us. And Byron Buxton, Ed thinks could be out until the midway point of next season. He finally showed Twins fans what he can be when he's healthy, and that is a dynamic player both offensively and defensively. And then, as Ed pointed out, he gets hurt again, and he just cannot stay healthy.
It's tough to see at this point because, like you said, having a breakout year, well, you know what he's going to be defensively when he's out there, but it seems like that's almost becoming his unraveling. He's a little bit too aggressive in the outfield, and that causes problems.
If he were healthy going into next season, I would almost, if I were the Twins, kick the tires on seeing what you could get in
right.
return for a trade, but I don't think you're going to have too many takers buying damaged goods at this point, so they're going to need to figure out. Now, Royce Lewis, who struggled a little bit in the minors this year, is viewed as a possible center fielder of the future. They're still keeping him at shortstop for right now. I don't think he'll be ready to go next year, but the Twins very much not worried about 2020 at this point. They're just trying to make it through 2019, trying to hold off the Indians and combination of PED suspensions with Michael Pineda and Byron Buxton out for the year. Ed brought up the MRI on Max Kepler's shoulder. The injuries are starting to take their toll, and you see just how difficult it is over the course of a 162-game season to finish things off, because there are other teams that are limping to the finish line. The Cubs are certainly desperately trying to crawl their way over the finish line with one of those wild card spots. But the Twins, you don't feel necessarily as confident about them now as you did a month ago.
Yeah, I think that they're one of those teams that's caught in a pennant race where you look at the Yankees, who've dealt with injuries all season long. The Dodgers have had their fair share of injuries, the Astros as well, but they don't have anybody nipping on their heels, so there's no need to rush any of those guys back. For the Twins, it's different. For the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Brewers, it's a little bit different. So yeah, those teams, you don't have the luxury of having a huge lead in your division or having things wrapped up, which is tough. I do want to say this. I know Ed alluded to it with the NL MVP. Usually it's who gets you in the playoffs. How is Christian Yelich not the front runner to be MVP? The numbers are clearly better. And could you imagine what that team would look like without him?
I would like to imagine what the team would look like without him. It might be a couple more wins for other teams in the NL Central, but que sera, sera. By the way, congratulations to Jeff in Cedar Rapids. He was the winner of tonight's $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We will be back at Mulligan's next Thursday night for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. 6:21, we need to take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll get you a third and final Big Board update, and then another of our special guests today as KGYM takes opportunities with inside its local programming to bring you some programming dedicated to National Suicide Prevention Day, which is today, September 10th. So we'll get to that and Rochelle when we return after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road. You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the black and gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Get ready, Liberty High. The Whirlpool Careers tailgate tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
After an off day, game one of a three-game series with the Washington Nationals comes your way on Tuesday night from Target Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Jose Barrios and Anibal Sanchez, the pitching matchup for game one on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we welcome you back in. I hope our associate producer, Jeff Downing, gets to feeling better. Sounds like he's got a little bit of a bug. There is some nasty going around.
Yes, it is.
A lot of junk. And it's too early for that.
I know. I never get sick in the summer or towards the end of the summer like right now. But I caught whatever that was. I think it's going away, though.
Jeff is under the weather. I know Mark Dukes on the gym class has been less than 100%, and now you're feeling the effects of it. It's September 10th. It's way too early for this. We have for you an opportunity tomorrow to take home another $30 gift card to Mulligan's. Again, we'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Also for you on the program tomorrow, Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions courtesy of Imon Communications. All that and more, we'll tell you a little bit more about it before we leave the air tonight in about 20, 25 minutes. Plenty more to get to here in the 6 o'clock hour, but first, the third and final big board update of the day presented by Alexander Lumber. Here's our producer, Kyle Mann.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today ahead of a huge Cy-Hawk matchup this weekend. He says safety Geno Stone is good to go this week after leaving the Rutgers game early, but Kevon Merriweather will remain out for at least one more week, so it'll be Jack Kerner back at free safety. Kirk also indicated that other players may be nursing injuries, so the secondary is particularly thin at this moment. He also said it's likely that Colt Banwart does get worked back into the offensive line rotation. Matt Campbell also spoke over in Ames, and the biggest question for the Cyclones right now is whether they'll be with or without starting center Colin Newell. If he's unable to go, those around the program have been indicating the team is quite high on the idea of working in youngsters Trevor Downing and Joey Ramos. One guy who's definitely going to be out there is safety Braxton Lewis, who missed the season opener. Noah Fant hauled in two passes for 29 yards in his NFL debut for the Broncos last night, but it was another former Hawkeye in his second season that really looked like he's taken a step forward. Now starting for Denver, Josie Jewell had a game-high 14 tackles, including seven of them solo. The Colonel's season came to an end last night with a 6-2 loss to the Clinton Lumber Kings, who now advance to face the South Bend Cubs in the Midwest League Championship. They won't be league champions, but having now played in the Western Division Championship Series six seasons in a row is pretty decent. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Nationals, as always, on 107.5 FM, The North, Jim.
All right, it is 6:27, and as we've been doing all day here on KGYM, in honor of World Suicide Prevention Day, we have been chatting with experts from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. They are formerly known as the Crisis Center in Johnson County. We're trying to educate our listeners on suicide and what you can do if you're listening to this program, if you're ever faced with a mental health crisis, either your own or somebody that you know and love. And given these statistics out there, which I've shared on this program in the past, chances are you have encountered somebody who's facing issues before. You may not even realize it. We enjoyed our information that we learned from Chris and Sarah earlier today. Our next guest, our final guest this afternoon, is Rochelle. Rochelle, I'm just going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself and say your piece.
My name is Rochelle Honey Arcement, and I am the Director of Mobile Crisis Outreach at Community Crisis Services. I do a lot of training at our agency around suicide and also around trauma-informed care, as well as running the Mobile Crisis Outreach Program in Johnson and Iowa counties, and we will be expanding south into counties south of Johnson County soon.
Rochelle, it seems like the big thing always seems to be that people are scared to talk about mental health, especially teenagers. Are they worried that other kids at school will judge?
So with the kids at school, I mean, my experience, the first time that I attempted suicide was in high school, and I was pretty concerned about what the reaction was going to be of my peers. And really what I got was support and love from my peers, who were, you know, understanding that I was, you know, just really struggling and having a really difficult time. And I didn't get the judgment that I expected from folks. But I think it is, the more people that talk about it, the more we're going to realize that this is, far more people are experiencing this than we think. We think when we're experiencing it that we're the only ones that are experiencing it. And we're afraid of the reactions of other people. And if more people talked about their experience, we'd realize how sort of universal this is, that so many people have these kinds of thoughts. You know, it's pretty rare to find people who have never had a thought, you know, a thought about suicide. You know, I mean, there are people who say that they haven't. Sometimes it's like, really? Like, it's hard for me to understand that someone would never have had those kinds of thoughts. But to realize that there are a lot of people who have these thoughts, there are a lot of people who take action on those thoughts. Thankfully, most of the time, they don't die because of those actions, and they can get help. But I think because it's something that isn't talked about, we don't realize that there's so many people who have experienced it.
There are a lot of people that want to help someone around them who are showing signs of depression or potentially suicidal, but they don't know what to say. But one thing we've learned so far today is that it can just be as simple as listening.
So it's actually an interesting thing. I'm trying to develop a training for mobile crisis right now. And we're, you know, I come from a social work background, and we are problem solvers and we're fix-it people, right? And so we come to a situation and we want to fix the person's, all of their problems. We want to fix everything for them. And that's not what a person really needs in a suicide crisis. They need somebody to be present with them and to acknowledge their worth and dignity. And they don't need somebody coming in and saying, oh, well, you've got this problem and this problem. I know some ways that we can solve those problems. That there's this resource over here. There's this. Not that resources aren't important, but that's not what they need in that moment. Those resources come after we get them through that crisis. You know, after we are present with them and we sit with them in that like muddy, like messy stuff that doesn't feel very good, you know, to get them through that moment, to get them through that crisis. Sometimes we have to close our mouths a little bit more and just allow that person to talk, asking open-ended questions, talking with folks about what their experience is, just exploring with them the issues that they bring up. Tell me more about that. What's, you know, those kinds of questions, those kinds of statements. Open-ended questions and reflective listening. So you hear someone say something to you and you reflect it back to them in the words, in your own words. So you say to them that you understand what they've said and you're basically checking. So reflective listening is making sure that you have heard that person correctly, right? And so you reflect back to them in your own words what they just said so that they get somebody heard me and they understand what I've said. It's really about making sure that that person understands your experience. We want to make sure that they feel heard. And so that's really what that listening is about, is giving them a chance to talk, to express their feelings, not to argue with them, which can be really hard when it's a loved one, right? We want to jump in and say, oh, but everybody loves you. We really care about you. That may be the case, and we can talk about that later. But what they need in that moment is acknowledgement of the pain that they're in and an opportunity to talk about that pain.
Exactly.
It's not fun to sit there in that with them all the time. We want to get them to safety. So we jump to, okay, that's how do we make a safety plan? How do we keep you safe? And they may not be ready for that. They need sure. may need to talk about what's causing them pain, what's causing them to be in this place of wanting to kill themselves. Because only through talking about that can we get that connection to life. Can we get them to a place where they may be ready to talk about safety? That safety and being in that safe place comes from them and from, you know, the things that they're passionate about, the things that, you know, that they want to do. We have to connect to them. And the only way that we can find those things is letting them talk and having that conversation and being with them.
Speaking with Rochelle from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank to help educate people on World Suicide Prevention Day here on KGYM. Rochelle, is there anything else you'd like to share?
I want to get the message out that there is hope. Right? That people can be in a really, really dark place, but with support, they can get through that. You know, with help, with the appropriate treatment, with the care that is out there, we can help people through these crises. That, you know, mobile crisis, when it's in your area, which most areas will be getting it, can be a great resource because we can go to wherever that person is in crisis and meet with them there. And really we just have to talk about it and be open to the conversation. Don't, you know, I think we assume that a lot of people assume that they're never going to run into somebody who's thinking about suicide. And it's just not the case. It is far more widespread than you think. And it could touch anybody's family. It can touch any community. And, you know, if people want to get trained, we have trainings, different levels of training. So we have the 1 to 3 hour question, persuade, refer, QPR training that we can provide. And lay people can go through that training. We also have then the 2-day applied suicide intervention skills training that also lay people can go through. But clinicians and all sorts of individuals go through that training, and it's a powerful training. It's a training where people will come out much more comfortable talking with someone about suicide. And I would love to see people from all walks of life go through these trainings so that they feel more comfortable. I think that's often why people don't want to ask, is they don't know what to do if someone says, yes, I am thinking about suicide. And So if you get trained on what to do, if someone says yes, then you may be more likely to ask the question and to ask the person what's going on. So those trainings are really invaluable because they open up the opportunity for conversation that I think a lot of people are just afraid to have because they don't know what to do if someone says yes. And if you don't know what to do and you are with someone who says yes, there are resources out there. There's the crisis lines. There's mobile crisis. Even if it's law enforcement, they know how to get people to the help that they need. There's help out there if you have a conversation with someone and they do say, yes, I am thinking about suicide.
Thank you, Rochelle. And if you or someone you know is in a crisis, you can call or text 1-855-325-4296. That number once again is 1-855-325-4296. You can also chat online at builtbycommunity.org. We also have more information on ways that you can help and raise education, raise awareness for World Suicide Prevention Day online at our website, KGYMradio.com. Chris, Sarah, Rochelle, we thank all three of them for sharing with our listeners today information that just may save a life. It could save your life. I think a lot of us have dealt with issues, and sometimes we just don't know how to deal with them. And I think it was a great idea put forth by our president and the rest of the folks here in the building today that we raise some awareness for this, and we appreciate the feedback, both positive and negative, on the text line and the phone calls that we've gotten today, mostly positive from you, the listener. We appreciate it. 319-366-1600, a little tolerance goes a long way, even in today's version of the world. 638, we will take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, and KGYMRadio.com after this.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Feel House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You never know if there might be a situation where you could help someone with a mental health issue. Today, we're all learning together how to do our part to prevent suicide. Hashtag stop the stigma. KGYM.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask Home Advisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app. Home Advisor.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. It could be something serious or maybe something simple. So knowing the likely issue can save you a lot of time and money down the road. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com. Restrictions and details apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's Mike Golick. Want to see Notre Dame take on USC with my family and I? Now is your chance with the Tailgate with the Golicks at Notre Dame Sweepstakes. Listen to Golick and Wingo starting Monday, September 16th for your chance to win. Go to ESPNradio.com for official contest rules.
And we welcome you back in the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until the top of the hour tonight. Plenty more to get to over the course of the next 10, 15 minutes or so. Let you know what's going on in the world of Major League Baseball right now, because there's a team that can wrap up a pennant tonight. That is the Dodgers. They are in action in Baltimore, taking on the Orioles. It's already 4-0 LA in the bottom of the second inning. Yankees on top of Detroit, 6-1 that game in the bottom of the third. Philadelphia leads Atlanta 4-0, top of the second. Boston on top of Toronto, 1-0, that game in the top of the second as well. Arizona with a one-run advantage over the Mets at Citi Field after one inning. Milwaukee is up 2-0 in Miami on the Marlins. And the Twins and Nationals just underway at Target Field. That game is scoreless coming up later on tonight. The White Sox will host Kansas City. The Cardinals are in Colorado. And the Cubs with a 9-10 first pitch in San Diego against the Padres. Jose Quintana on the mound there. Chicago looking to make it 2-0 against the Friars. 6:43. We got a couple games we haven't even had a chance to talk about from last night. Monday night football games. The Saints surviving a scare from the Houston Texans. Drew Brees leading a game-winning drive in the final minute, setting up a walk-off field goal by Will Lutz. And Alex, I think you're probably as surprised as I am. The Oakland Raiders won their opener despite all of the distractions of Antonio Brown and the circus that was Antonio Brown's release. They beat Noah Fant and the Denver Broncos last night.
They did. The Denver Broncos look just about as bad as advertised at this point in the season, and the Raiders had a nice game plan for them. So the Raiders get off to a 1-0 start despite all of the Antonio Brown craze, and that Houston-New Orleans game was fantastic. It was so flawed and so fantastic.
I was unaware that New Orleans had such a history of struggling in its openers, and I saw that last night before kickoff, and I thought this might not be a good night to have money riding on the outcome in favor of the Saints, even if you did tease things further in their favor. They were a 7-point favorite last night, and they got the job done. This is a New Orleans team that many people look at as a Super Bowl contender. I thought the Texans looked pretty good last night myself. And then the late game, got home from Veterans Memorial Stadium in time to catch a little bit. That first play with Noah Fant for negative yardage put him in a bigger hole in trying to break TJ Hawkinson's record for most yards in a debut game for a tight end. But we'll get into more overreactions tomorrow on the program when there's a little bit more time, but are we jumping ship from Denver? I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting great things from the Broncos this year, but Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I think they're terrible.
They didn't look that great.
No, I think they're bad, and they were bad last year. and they downgraded a quarterback. Case Keenum is a better quarterback than Joe Flacco is. I don't understand where there is even really a debate. He had one good playoff, good playoffs. He led them to a Super Bowl victory at this point in his career. He is what he is. He's an unreasonably arrogant quarterback who is somewhere hovering around replacement level, whether he's slightly above or slightly below.
Now, we mentioned the $250 per ticket for the Iowa State game, the most expensive college football game in the country this weekend. Our pal Mark Morehouse from the Gazette tweeted out some information from Vivid Seats. The biggest live entertainment events in Iowa over the past 5 years. Iowa at Iowa State this Saturday looks like it's going to rank at least number 3 on that list as far as cost of a ticket. Paul McCartney played Wells Fargo Arena in July of 2017. The average price of a ticket sold was $229. Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood played Wells Fargo Arena in 2016 at $220 a ticket, the average price. $210 is the average price for Iowa-Iowa State. I believe that's face value. I don't think that's taking in scalpers. Iowa at Iowa State costs more than seeing Taylor Swift at Wells Fargo Arena did in 2015, and the Eagles when they played Wells Fargo Arena last March. It was only $193 for the Eagles, $210 for Iowa and Iowa State. I don't have to pay anything. I've got a press credential. I'll be up in the Jack Trice press box. Alex is going to be in Riverside. What's in Riverside? Oh, yeah. Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, the elite sports book inside the Draft Day Lounge. Alex is going to be hanging out on Saturday afternoon from noon until 3. He's getting you ready for Iowa and Iowa State. He's going to probably stick around and watch the game, maybe have a drink or two, chat some sports with you. And if you're feeling lucky, you can get a ticket right now. Iowa is a 2-point favorite on the road over Iowa State on Saturday. I imagine they will have a lot of action, a lot of tickets written for both Iowa and Iowa State. The total on that game is, I think a lot of people are expecting a very low-scoring game because I think the total opened at 48 points and is now down to 46.5. It was one of the games we'll be picking on the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway. It's actually down to 44.5. It opened at 46. It's now at 44.5 points. First team to 14. First team to 17.
Your guess is as good as mine.
What did Mark Emmert of the Des Moines Register said? He thought 23-20.
23-20 was his
prediction.
And that
was after an overtime.
Yeah, well, he did hint at overtime. I don't know if he officially said that. I think he was sort of more like, maybe overtime, maybe not.
These are the games, by the way, we'll be picking this week on the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway. Clemson at Syracuse. Syracuse opened as a 17-point underdog. Now they're a 28-point underdog. A lot of money coming in on Clemson. Indiana and Ohio State play a Big Ten contest this weekend. The Hoosiers are getting 15.5 points in Bloomington. Purdue hosts TCU. Purdue's murderous non-conference schedule continues. The Boilermakers getting 2.5 points at home. Northern Illinois will travel to Nebraska, getting 14.5 points. Can Scott Frost and the Huskers pick themselves up off the canvas after being knocked out by Colorado in a stunner last week? And then we will pick, of course, Iowa and Iowa State. Iowa State getting 2.5 points in the total, 44.5 points. That's coming up on Friday's gym class at 3:45. Your opportunity to select one of the 6 panelists, and whoever has the best week, you get a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. Scott Unash is your leader in the clubhouse so far this year. 5-1 last week, 9-3 2 weeks into the season. I hope he's putting his money on those picks at Riverside. He could afford to take a couple more vacation days. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. To say it was active today would be an understatement. And, of course, people were chiming in on Iowa and Iowa State.
Yeah, people were making up for what we heard from the players and the coaches in Ames and Iowa City today, something that you outlined. There's just there's not going to be a lot of trash talk back and forth, at least to the media, between these two programs. Yeah, maybe if Matt Roth or Brett Bielema or Alan Lazard or Julian Vandervelde were involved, there would be more of that. That's not what we're going to get this year. But I'm going to be interested to see if on Saturday it's a little bit more chippy on the field, which it might very well be.
Iowa State has disseminated some information with regards to the College Game Day broadcast on Saturday morning. They will open the pit areas surrounding the stage at 5:30 a.m. They're going to begin queuing people for that line at 3:30. SportsCenter will be doing some live hits throughout the early morning. 7:30 a.m., Twitter countdown to game day with Maria Taylor, David Pollack, and Jason Fitz. Then at 8 a.m., game day starts, goes until 11 a.m. The Cyclones will open the gates for premium areas and the students at 1 o'clock, and at 1:30, the Jack Trice gates will open for the general public kickoff set for 3 o'clock. That means at 1 o'clock on Saturday on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, we'll bring you the latest edition of Before the Boom. Kyle will step in for Alex, who will be, as we mentioned, with us broadcasting from Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, the Elite Sportsbook, inside the Draft Day Lounge. An hour-long show of all your favorite KGYM personalities previewing Iowa and Iowa State. The players may not share their opinions on this game, but we certainly will. It's Before the Boom, again coming up for you at 1 o'clock on Saturday. That'll do it for a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming up for you tomorrow, the debut of a new weekly sponsor. We have a presenting sponsor on Wednesday. We'll tell you all about them tomorrow. Plus, Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answers all your fantasy football questions, courtesy of Imon Communications. And we'll have another chance for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. You're going to win it inside the 5 o'clock face-off. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the rest of your evening.